Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My guests today are Thunder, who is an advanced quantum mechanics physicist, and Brad Milner, the modern health coach. So first we'll go to Brad.
Right here.
Yeah, and Thunder.
How you doing, brother?
Okay. One of you is really, really loud. The other is not.
We have to pass the mic back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's interesting is that, Brad, when you speak into the microphone, directly into the microphone, I can barely hear you, but when Thunder says something miles away from it, it comes in crystal clear.
Have you ever heard of Silent Thunder?
No, I have not, and ironically, you're not Silent Thunder at the moment either. Okay, so... can you please give us a little bit of a rundown about yourselves? Thunder, let's start with you, because we can hear you more clearly.
Awesome. I'm a farm kid from the Midwest. My background, the fifth farm generation child, grew up in predominantly agriculture-based small town. We raised 20,000 pigs, 5,000 cows. I was Future Farmers of America chapter president for the state of Iowa. I left, I went into college. I studied satellite communication engineering with a minor in quantum mechanics. I left, I was employed immediately at MCI as a top worldwide troubleshooter. Resigned and went to Hughes Electronics and worked in the DirecTV switching satellite systems. Corporate America just wasn't my gig, and I knew that. So I went into I went to work at CORE, the Center of Reverse Engineering in Beverly Hills. I've worked in the exotic technology fields behind Russia, Japan, and German work. And then I went to the Video Gaming Academy in Hollywood, where I taught liquid animation motion physics. In my spare time, as if I had some, I was dabbling as a backyard scientist into a unique quantum mechanics field and pioneered a zero-point energy state, which we broadcast frequencies in a hologram. I've set a couple of world records in pollution reduction, as well as EMF cell phone radiation reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm happy to say I can do it via text message. You can literally send a text message to your cell phone. You hold the image next to your phone, next to your gas tank or water. Whatever the hologram or the quantum entanglement frequency is for that particular code. Hey, you hold your cell phone next to the bottom of your gas tank, and literally within 5 minutes, you have dryer-like steam coming from your exhaust. This is a solution to pollution. I know your show dabbles in the, how do we say?
Everything?
Fight against the big boys. I'm proud to stand against the big boys.
Yeah.
Because I didn't sell out. Mitsubishi offered me $80 million to walk away. I declined.
Mm.
Because my grandkids need oxygen.
Everybody need oxygen, man.
I can't put a price on the world's air supply.
Yeah.
My goals as are extreme as my science. My goal is to see my name in the history book next to the word pollution and smog.
Most people wouldn't like that association, but you seemed like a rather ironic character, just in general.
I'm pretty advanced out there, bro. Don't be fooled. This is my real hair. I'm not some idiot surfer.
Oh, yeah. Because it's interesting because when people think of physicists and quantum mechanics and what have you, that's exactly what comes to mind. You know, you've got your head in some kind of a device just sitting there twiddling and what have you. No friends or social skills and what have you. Just living in your own head and slightly to one side, more or less. You appear to have broken that mold, not only in the point of fact that you appear to have different personality and character traits to most of the people in your field, but you've indeed managed to, it seems, upon first impression, that you seem to have struck a very delicate balance between the two worlds.
I'm a spiritual warrior, brother.
It's the applied part. Yeah.
I'm an applied scientist. I'm not a theoretical physicist. I don't sit in a room and wonder what billions and billions of galaxies far away could possibly be or how old they are. I'm a little more practical. I look at science in a way to solve world problems. Yeah. Today on your show, I'd like to give away all of your fans a free gift. A free gift via text message that will protect you from chemtrails. Chemtrails are being sprayed by a company called Evergreen Logistics. I have photographed chemtrails. I have used biophoton resonant vibration frequencies to extract the element that is being sprayed in our sky. And I took each one of those harmful toxins, and I tuned in the negative effect to render them inert. They can fall from the sky and land on me, but I don't get sick. I've worked in cell phone radiation to send you a text message so that your phone is a safe device. With over 60,000 recipes that I have digitally wrote the algorithms for in the last 10 years, it is the most complete line of science known to date. Quite proud, not arrogant. I'm a very humble man, but I'm a very determined man to hit each and every one of my goals. My creation of what I call Digimeds, digital medicine, comes via text message. But I can't use a dirty cell phone to try to heal you. Make sense? So what we're going to do instead is I send a EMF radiation block that you put on the wallpaper of your cell phone. This will allow the cell phone signal to work, but it blocks the dangerous EMF radiation that comes off of cell phones. With 5.6 billion cell phones in the world. We'll start there. Now, your phone is clean and a good environment for us to send text message images directly to your phone that you hold next to water for about a minute. The energy will then transduce about 8 to 10 inches, and the frequency will then hold inside the water. Water is like a memory stick. Okay? You take the water and you induce it. The body breaks it down. You're going to have a pair of hydrogens on one side and an oxygen left over. But you're also going to have intrinsic data. And that's what we program when we send the text.
It's
the body doesn't know what to do with it.
So it's sort of similar to a... it's I'd call it digital homeopathy.
Thank you. Exactly what it is. The perfect understanding of what we have, yes. So, once the neuron receives that information, in quantum mechanics, it is information that tells matter how to behave. So, neuron gets information, doesn't know where it came from, but hey, we got our orders. So neurons
get information the same way that morons do.
Same exact way, brother. So,
junk DNA.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the junk DNA. Now, the body then whistles up and calls upon the stem cells to do its job. The adaptogen, for lack of a better word, is programmed into the stem cell to take it to where it is needed in the body. At little by little, it's chipped away. Little by little, the stem cells repair the body, and you simply piss away the waste. We are water in, water out. Digital medicine via text message. The simply most advanced technology on our planet today.
Sounds pretty friggin' awesome. Now, so we've been introduced to you, Thunder. What about your colleague here?
Brad, let me turn you over to the man that I'm glad is on my team. This man knows everything when it comes to frequencies and how to heal the body. Mm-hmm. Brad?
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks for having us on. And my name is Brad Molnar. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, an environmental scientist. Did 13 years of remediation and consulting oversight for military bases, gas stations, dry cleaners all over the country. Cleaned up Ground Zero personally in the pit, buildings all around it. Have seen it, have cleaned it up. And since I had knee surgery, hip surgery, chiropractic as a kid in a car crash in 07, the last decade I've done over 20,000 hours of research in health, wellness, free energy, and NWO states of affairs. And started 4 or so years ago, modernhealthcoach.com, which is product, services, information. I went back to school for kinesiology and invested in a lot of high-tech healing apparatuses, life stream generator, right frequencies, LEDs, ozone, far infrared sauna. And actually, I lived in L.A., and Thunder and I lived in L.A. at the same time, and I was working with some of his old companies, and we've been kind of dancing around each other out in L.A., involved with his technology 5 years ago at least, something like that. And we all know all the same people. We met out here in Sedona, Arizona about six months ago.
Yeah.
And kind of kicked it off and put two and two together and got 22. And are kicking it here live. We teamed up here, and Thunder and I have brought out some new products recently on the website. We just did an Ormus card, LED.
What is that website?
ModernHealthCoach.com. Yeah, www.modernhealthcoach.com. I have gone up and down the aisles of the expos. I have looked high and low. I have been on a quest to fix my ship. It was sinking. I listened to doctors. They had the surgeries, the physical therapist. Just listen to me. Pay my boat bill. You know, put you through the racket. I got spit out and was pissed off. I turned my science degree loose on health, fixed my own problems, and now I'm doing it for other people as a way of life. And, yeah.
I've read about people like you, too. Usually in the, what's it called, in the obituary section. after some kind of terrible and suspicious accident.
Yeah. Well, you know, I turn lemons into lemonade. You know, I have a very positive outlook, and I wasn't let a doctor in a white lab coat tell me that I need hip surgery and I need a replacement when I'm, you know, 50 and just turned 40 years old and just hit my stride, you know. And
as it did.
Yeah, so, you know, like I'm saying, take the best and leave the rest, and I have been on a quest for the best. And working with this guy is a good big part of it. So pretty excited to roll out our affiliate program on the website. We're offering people 44% and 22% on the first and second tiers to get involved and spread this technology. It's no good if you can't share it. We got to get all this out there. This is part of the regime. You got to have the quantum scalar cards and holograms on you, on your water, on your gas tank. And that starts the whole process, and it's a different part that people don't really think is possible. You know, when you say you can, like, listen, I have a 96 Cherokee 4.0 six cylinder. I blew a 0.0 on my carbon monoxide and nitrogen oxides on a Cali State smog test result to prove it. 0.0 from a Cali State smog test result on a big ass Cherokee. You know, so it is real. It is happening. We're getting great feedback all the time. I love it when I check the inbox and people are saying, yes, great, we're getting repeat customers, it's happening. Thunder's been at it for 10 years in his own right, I've been at it for 10 years in my own right. We're teamed up here and we're bringing it to the world, so we're pretty stoked to get this opportunity to talk about it.
Let me guess, climate change activists think that you're crazy and prefer taxation instead to solve the pollution problem.
Yeah, you know... After I went to the EPA testing facility in Santa Ana, California Environmental Engineering Lab, in the last 30 years, nobody has reduced diesel pollution more than 2%.
That's sad.
And you've managed to eliminate it completely.
Yeah, we take it completely to zero. On the first 5 minutes, I put a small postage stamp-looking hologram on the bottom of the gas tank, and we dropped emissions 40%.
Do you have a corresponding increase in fuel efficiency or economy?
It's a mathematical equation. If you reduce emissions, you increase efficiency.
Can I say something? Because the Pogue carburetor, you've heard of this, the vaporizing carburetor?
Our carburetor they invented in the 1970s is now locked up in Exxon's legal department. Yeah, we heard of it. You atomize the fuel.
Yeah,
burn
yeah.
Fuel chips, not logs. They burn a lot quicker.
Indeed. And what my friend Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine told me is that I think it was like 99% of pollution is simply unburned hydrocarbons that your normal engine would waste. So you're not getting an increase of 99% efficiency, though, are you?
Well, actually, what we're doing here, think of it this way. What doesn't get cooked inside your engine, it's 600 to 800 degrees. Okay. Now, the flash point or that melting point of some of those trace toxins are 1500 to 3000 degrees. So, what doesn't get stuck on your engine cylinder head, trapped in the catalytic converter, comes out in the form of smog and pollution that we see today. Mm-hmm. What I did is I analyzed the gasoline and I found 78 trace toxins and 84 trace toxins in diesel fuel. And what I simply did then is one at a time, I took each one of those toxins and rendered them its negative effect.
Inert,
yeah. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you have carbon monoxide is a 100 omega frequency, okay, for instance. We take a negative 100 omega frequency, and now it has lost its, it's like Superman around kryptonite. It's lost its properties. So that when it hits the engine, those impurities simply implode. Mm-hmm. We burn 100% of them through.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't stop there. It also starts to clean up the catalytic converter and what's stuck on side your engine. And it doesn't also stop there. because the air that is brought in through the air intake system, matching with the gas, it renders those particles inert.
And if you're driving in LA, that air that's going in through your intake is polluted too.
This becomes an air purifier.
Yeah.
It cleans up the air.
So it's a complete 360 using technology with fossil fuel burning engines. We don't want to disrupt the fragile economic system, so we embrace it. Our carbon credits are now worth $5,000 a year by simply putting one of our products on the gas tank. Well, that's really handy when it comes to making car payments, isn't it? Aha!
And also, that's $5,000 you don't have to give the New World Order so that they can purchase technology to surveil and enslave you.
It's a
win-win.
Yeah.
The New World Disorder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I think they are actually rather orderly in the extermination sense of the word.
Well, not anymore. They didn't encounter a monkey wrench like me.
Yeah.
I'm the game changer when it comes to fixing what I see is wrong with our problems. So let me kind of go down some of the list of things that I've gotten into. Not only pollution and cell phone radiation, which are the only two lab report world records that I've done. I don't have to go out and do 60,000 lab reports for 60,000 products, do I? I think after a while people are going to catch on.
Yeah.
So I've looked at the chemtrail situation, rendered it inert. I've looked at the smart meter situation and found a very good solution. I've looked at the health therapy because I don't need to go to the FDA. I have a FCC issue. My technology, text therapy. And my attorneys assure me that I can send a text message to every country in the world. So the FDA doesn't have to get involved.
Well, that's good.
It stands for effing dumb A's.
What was the name? Dr. Rima Labo told me is that it's the Fraud and Death Administration. Incidentally, I had a conversation with her earlier this week, and we were talking about the world's problems, about the chemtrails and the pollution and so on and so forth. And I said to her, you know what happens traditionally throughout history? One genius always pops up at certain points throughout history where they'll take a problem which everybody thinks is impossible, which nobody understands, and find a very simple solution just like that. And we kill those people. You know?
Good thing I got a couple of giant 4th and 5th dimension Yetis taking care of me, brother.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what you call an abominable snowman that works for the mafia?
Uncle Vic.
A console Yeti.
You also call him Yeti.
Abomination.
All right. Now, speaking of which, if we're talking about the advanced technology that you have created, you have vetted it, the next stage in thing is production and distribution. And you said that you have an affiliate program of what 22%, then 44%. So what was it? Could you explain that?
Yeah, it starts off, we're offering people 44%. So if I were to sign you up, Vinny, and you were to get your friend to buy, when your friend clicks on the referral link that you send him and they buy, you get 44% of that sale. For on a $100 gas chip, if you're signed up under the program, which is free, when you sign up and you sell that, we're giving you 44% of that sale. Now, if you sign up and that friend who bought the $100 gas chip likes it and he signs up and he sells it to his friend, then when that friend gets it, he gets 40%, 44%, and you get 22%. So that's the two-tier system that we have. We're going wide, not deep on it. We want to get it out there, and we're definitely cutting everybody in on a very generous kickback.
So it's two-tier only.
Two-tier only. Yeah,
it fits the traditional wholesale retail business model very comfortably. without the traditional scams that come with multi-level marketing or problems that come with it. I've done a few test markets in my day, and the affiliate program was the most successful. There's no inventory. Hey, I use this, and let me tell you about it, and you get paid. Very simple.
Yeah, we made it for the show and tell, to have that show part, we made that a lucrative part for you, to have like a software starter pack where you get a few of everything. You get the thermal, you get a gas, you get a couple healing different codes, and then you can go out and you know, have your own story to tell them about how it helped you, and then you can share the technology and do very well for yourself in the process. And we've got about 18 products up now. Just create a few more. Thunder's been hanging out with me this week, and we've been cranking on some stuff now. Just came, just started a Lyme frequency protocol with 235 codes in it. Came up with the Ormus code, gold, silver, copper, platinum, 83 trace minerals, all in one postage size hologram. You know, look something like this, bud.
Oh, yeah, the MHC validity card.
Vitality.
Okay.
A little shaky there. I got
right hand. Oh, yeah, so, we got it. Yeah.
And here's our best healing code here.
MHC Gold Eagle.
That has like 18,000 codes in it. So we've put them on cards, or we have the sticker, depending on which one. And we've got enough recipes out there to make your life change, you know,
instantly,
in a quantum scalar nanosecond.
And of course, these are all individually based. You haven't pioneered a suburban broadcasting card or something of that nature where you could cover your whole street or something of that.
Yes. I use that in my my agriculture program. What I can do is, are you familiar with the Bluetooth speaker boxes?
Not overly. You'll have to.
Sorry. It's called a Jawbone or like a Jam Box, and you basically use it to broadcast jam tunes and also talk into. Here you go.
Looks like this.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Kind of like an iPod dock.
Yeah.
Right, like a booster.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, they're very loud. And now, Bose had one that it wasn't as good as Jawbone's brand. Bose didn't have a microphone on it. So you can use it as a Bluetooth wirelessly and talk into it in the car, wherever you go, and it's very loud. So what I can do is I can send a code frequency to your cell phone that broadcasts an infrared signal, and we use it in our frequency fertilizing system. So that I can, I send a tone, beep, and we record it back on our end. I'm able to bounce it off the soil, and I'm able to tell by a biophoton resin, I'm able to tell the element makeup, chemical makeup of the soil. Then I simply build the adaptogens that the soil needs for optimal growth. We've seen a 80 to 300% increase in yields in 27 different varieties of plants.
Now, conceivably, it would work on nearly every type of organic material, wouldn't it?
It works on organic and inorganic material. Absolutely. PVC and wood. Give you two examples. Well, I can place a hologram sticker on your air conditioner vent. And you take a laser infrared thermometer and get the temperature coming out. Most ACs are running between 60 and 64 degrees. I can place a sticker on the vent, and 5 minutes later, that air is coming out at 45 degrees. Isn't that fun?
Measurable. Noticeable.
You set them on the windows on a hot... Like I was down in Phoenix last summer cleaning house in all of the restaurants down there. You got you know, windows outside in Phoenix in the summer. The temperature on those glasses were about 165 degrees. Outside temperature is 118 degrees. The inside temperature is 114 degrees. We put a sticker on them and drop the inside temperature down to 81. You know what that does to your heating and cooling costs?
Like halves them?
Ah, cuts them in half. I say a third to be safe. I don't need the claims, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I underpromise, always overdeliver.
The kind of the opposite of Barack Obama.
And a Nobel Prize winner, by the way.
Oh my God! What a
oh yeah.
Before he even did anything, just getting elected, he got a prize.
Yeah.
Then he sent a couple hundred thousand more troops into Afghanistan. I mean, come on, where's the peace, brother?
Yeah. I bombed 18 countries, and I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner. That makes a shockingly large amount of sense.
I'm not looking for the Nobel Prize because they overlooked some of my great intellectual idols in the past.
Mm.
I don't believe Tesla got a Nobel Prize.
Mm.
He's been responsible for the AC and radio wave.
Free energy.
Nah, we can't give that guy a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, because then people might actually look into his technology and realize that it actually works and it's quite simple and puts the massive evil Rockefeller-controlled oil companies and their J.P. Morgan banking cohorts out of business. Oh, that would just be a shame, wouldn't it?
What do you mean give people away free electricity?
You need the meter.
Well, free is just another word for socialist.
You don't make money? If nobody had a electric bill in the last 100 years, and we put that money in the front yard, there'd be a pile of cash in everybody's front yard.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Now,
so I signed the Aqua Terratron as a free energy power plant that delivers 700 megawatts of power, or enough electricity for about 500,000 homes.
Now, is this the wireless transmitting technology that Tesla pioneered? You can transmit electricity wirelessly with a receiver?
Absolutely.
Because I recall, I don't know, maybe you can confirm or deny this for me, that he was concerned about it because it had inherent dangers, much like we have wireless dangers now, which incidentally your technology addresses. Is that true? Was there a danger with it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if it was a danger, you've got the technology to counteract the danger of it, so it kind of solves the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, on smart meter, for instance, and for all your listeners who are troubled by this, let me give you some background. We have a 3G and a 4G cell phone. Your smart meter is considered a 10G on steroids and a very dangerous thing to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You got about 40 yards that are going to go directly through your house. So if your smart meter is sitting outside your house and your refrigerator is on the inside, yummy, pass me the cookies.
Yeah.
If your bedroom is there and you're getting shot with this all night long, hey, come on.
TMJ.
Well, a friend of mine, former BBC journalist Steve Hart, who now lives in New Zealand, was running a test on this to see what the range of these radio frequencies, these pings that were going out, and he determined it was about 32-kilometer range. So that means every house within 32 kilometers is sending out a ping that goes 32 kilometers in every direction.
There's your 10G. Yeah.
That's 10G.
Yeah.
But here's what you do. You got your, let me get something to, give me a little round thing here. Here's your smart meter. Okay? It's on the outside of your house. Sitting right there.
Yeah.
Okay? You take a mirror and turn it around and place it on the inside of the house so that the mirror is facing the wall.
Outside.
Now, you've taken the signal sideways in through the frame and the insulation, and it doesn't penetrate into your home. Get one of our very affordable stickers, peel it off, put it on the breaker box door, shut it, you're done. And we take out all the transients in your electricity line. Transients, by the way, are an overcharge. Let's take a 9-volt battery. We know, we test it with our multimeter, and we're not even getting 9 volts. We're getting 8.7, okay? Now, we take a board and we drop a resistor on it. That represents a big screen TV. We set a second resistor on there, and that represents Miss High Maintenance in the bathroom turning on the hair dryer. And you know how your TV kind of goes, whoa, whoa, okay? Well, when you put your multimeter on the second resistor, for a quick second, that is going to spike up to 17.5 volts. Come on, it's a 9-volt battery. We know there's not 17 volts coming out of there.
It's just not possible.
So, what's the difference between my multimeter and the meter on the side of your house?
That's a good quiz. I don't know.
Nothing.
Nothing?
So the utility company thinks you use more electricity than you did because we use because of the copper wiring and the transients that are in there.
Oh, we're talking about dirty waste electricity. In fact, I filmed a presentation by Dr. Don Mesh, PhD, about the smart meters. And there was a question asked from the audience about whether or not, because current meters, they only measure the direct current of electricity that you actually use. And the question from the audience was, do the smart meters also measure and charge for that dirty waste electricity that the analog meters don't? And Paul Waddell, who's one of only three people who tests for EMF radiation in New Zealand, I think it's homesafe.co.nz, I think is his website, he had colleagues in Australia that had tested and confirmed that yes, the smart meters are in fact charging for dirty electricity, and in some cases people are winding up with 2 to 3 times the normal power bill.
We put our stuff on there, and we're dropping 1/3 of your electric bill, so they pay for it 2 months.
Yeah,
that's a dirty, dirty secret. Yeah, that needs to get out.
Mm. You know? I don't suffer from analog anxiety.
Mm.
A lot of the old timers do.
Mm.
I was going to school right at the cusp of when digital technology hit, and when we would sit around in college after school, you know, me and my roommates, we were planning about what we were learning 20 years ago. And I was like, guys, I mean, I don't think these teachers are even aware of what they're teaching us here. But this digital thing means we can make the new rules.
Yeah.
And we have.
Well, it's the old saying, what do those who can't do? They teach.
They teach. My former partner is a PhD nuclear physicist from Yale. We don't need nuclear physicists, so I really didn't need him anymore. Today? Well, he teaches biology in a college.
I don't get that. You know, it's just like, okay, I know about radiation and how to give people cancer, so now I teach you about biology.
Speaking of nuclear power, by the way, let's address the big F over there in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with my very good friend? And, you know, people have friends, but then you have friends that you have I know you trust kind of thing. I trust the bank. I give them my money. And, you know, I trust tomorrow morning they'll be there. But you know what? I don't invite them to my house because I hate those guys.
Yeah. Bank. I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then there's the people who you trust and you have, I know you trust. And my very good friend, what I consider a bestie, is the great Dr. Patrick Flanagan.
It rings a bell.
Oh, Pat Flanagan is the who's who godfather, one of the top 10 scientists ever. Created the neurophone.
Nikola Tesla reincarnated.
Yeah, he's Tesla reincarnated.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And he's out here in the Sedona area.
He builds a beautiful device that I wear proudly every day called a Sensor 5. If I can get that steady.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the Marine motto, Semper Fi.
Sensor 5 is a five-sided, these are all pyramids. And what I did is I put my hologram then on the back side of it to amplify it about another 150,000 codes. Now, Dr. Pat Flanagan, he has a portable Geiger counter. So we took it out to Mingus Mountain out here in near Sedona, Arizona.
There's actually a mountain called Mingus?
Mingus. Ed Mingus, an old prospector out here. Yeah. Copper produced half of the world's copper for 100 years in Jerome. Now a ghost town. Hippies came in the 60s and recolonized it. And it's worse.
He must have been teased at school and called some form of dingus, but yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
Mingus. Dingus?
Mingus, the dingus! I could see it now.
So we took core samples using a handheld Geiger counter. This isn't the $150 Radio Shack version you find. This is a $17,000 piece of equipment.
Holy cow.
Which we were able to identify the Iridium-142 and or 192 isotope, which is associated with Fukushima.
Mm.
We also found 10 unknown to the element chart. Wonder where that could be sprayed from. And what we realized is that the higher up we go, the higher the saturation of radiate belt lies in layer. So for your stewardess and your pilots, you're not aware of this, but you have a very dangerous job.
To more cosmic radiation, let alone nuclear.
So what we did...
Well, in fact, you remember there was a TV show back in the 70s or 60s called Pan Am or something like that with all these beautiful hot stewardesses.
Yeah.
Watching a comedian...
Come on.
Allegedly. And I was watching this comedian, I think it might have been Bill Burr or C.K. Lewis, one of them, and he said, I don't think any of those ladies ever retired. And he saw one of these very, very elderly stewardesses using the drinks cart as a mobility scooter.
A walker cart.
Yeah. Well, she's given you your little tiny bottles of booze. You know, and like airplane suites out of an old brass container.
Coffee, tea, or meds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Off topic. Continue.
And so that's all right, brother. That's why we do this. Yeah. I can play. You know, we could have a boring show, and I have everybody asleep. But you know, that's not what we do here. We're here to entertain, as more importantly, you know, inform.
I've also found that when you're laughing, it cuts away the brain's firewalls. You know what I'm saying? You've always got these defenses up when new ideas, particularly very controversial ideas and new discoveries that are virtually borderlining on magic and unbelievability, like yourself. I find that if you can laugh about things during broadcasts like this, you actually make people more susceptible to accepting the program. To a degree, in a good way, rather than accepting brainwashing.
Yeah, thank you. I like to coin the phrase, I'm the Eddie Van Halen of quantum mechanics. I'm 45 this year. This is my real hair. My dad was bald at 22. He died at 49 years of age of obesity. He was 5'7" and 320 pounds with a 62-inch waist.
62.
Hey, guy could bench press 450, though. I wouldn't mess with him. he's a big farm boy from Iowa. Now, I'm not bald. I'm not overweight. Why? It's not hereditary. Balding is a parasite. It was discovered in 1906 by a scientist. So I pulled the frequency of that parasite, and I put it on my shampoo bottle. I got great hair. Pretty proud of it.
Oh, it's so silky.
I'm 6 foot. I'm 6 foot four. I weigh 195 pounds.
I'm 6 foot two.
You're big boys. I'm 6'1". Shit.
I'm not overweight because I cook 2.2 pounds of fat cells out of my body using frequency. That beautiful cart here, yeah, it's just, it's a coaster. It looks like a CD. We burn them like a CD. And production, you touched earlier, with my current capabilities are a 2.8 million holograms in a 24-hour period I can manufacture. I can send 5.6 billion cell phones instantly. That I don't have manufacturing, shipping, or inventory there. That's convenient. So a majority, what I call the cutting edge of my hologram work, it's now obsolete.
And if you were a gardener, you'd be on the cutting hedge.
Well, I was Future Farmers of America chapter president of the state of Iowa 4 years in high school. And Iowa is, I mean, that's the agriculture capital of the Midwest.
Which reminds me, the family farm is becoming, shall we say, an endangered species. With Agenda 21 and all of these sort of things. I remember... What did you say?
Get Monsanto out.
Yes. Shut them down. In fact, would you be able to have a sticker, like a real sneaky, like a clear hologram sticker that you can stick on Monsanto employee trucks or something like that, you know, just like real, just a sneak in there, just stick, slap it on their truck or something like that, and it turns them into not a douchebag?
Conscious?
You know?
Thai Frankenfood.
It awakes their brain.
Like the Monsanto employee gets into his truck and it's like, oh my God, I'm working for Satan.
if Monsanto would like to save tremendous money annually in their fuel expenditure.
Well, you don't want to help them. You don't really want to help them.
And you come in and slip in the anti.
Put it on their trucks that way.
Well, it just makes it much cheaper for their trucks to go to the family farms to confiscate them when their GMO corn gets blown by the wind onto it.
I was from one of the most innovative pioneered farm families in the Midwest. And, you know, we threw away a plow in... 2 years before I was born, back in 69, I never even actually got to pull one behind a tractor. We started buffalo tillage and minimum tillage because my granddad realized that the topsoil was washing down the Missouri and Mississippi River.
Yeah, we're losing a lot of topsoil.
And our precious topsoil is what we need for fertile ground. And so we, you know, we pioneered these methods, and we were top producers, not in the fields aspect, because we had 700 acres that we needed just to grow our farm livestock. We were a livestock company, and we built the country's very first farrowing unit that was indoors. The pigs actually never saw the sun until the day we took them to market.
I don't know what a farrowing unit is. You forgive my ignorance.
Birthing hospital for pigs.
A what?
Birthing.
Ah, okay, yeah.
The delivery room.
Yeah.
And until those pigs were born, until they went to the market, they didn't even know about a sun. They didn't know hot weather, cold weather. They had cushioned 72 degree absolute with a cleaning system that was all automatic. You push a button on the breaker box and the whole floor is cleaned out. It scraped it right out and into tanks that we would spray on our field for fertilizer.
As opposed to dumping it into the river or the Gulf of Mexico, as many enormous piggeries are doing now, which is causing havoc, really. I'm aware that there's a what they call a dead zone during certain seasons in the Gulf of Mexico at the moment, allegedly caused by a lot of this this runoff and pollution.
Yeah, it's a serious problem, and the monoculture agribiz, you know, is perpetuated by everyone going to the grocery store and feeding their face on frankenfoods and feeding into that, you know, and that's why there is aeroponics and aquaponics and other methods. It's going back to the house, going back to the small scale, not going into the system. DIY is vogue here, you know. That's what it's learning about. It's self-empowering in solving your own problems, but the price of food's going up, the price of gas is going up, and the dollar is going deflated. You gotta work longer, and you gotta cost more to feed you, and cost more to heat and food, fuel and get you around town. So that's where the wage slave is brought in, and then we're just, you know, paying to heat and feed our faces, and people are left at wit's end. No wonder they're stressed, broke, and sick and fat and in debt.
And the only thing you can eat is poison. I went into the supermarket the other day, and I set aside a mission for myself to try and find some food that wasn't poison. It was quite difficult.
In a regular grocery store?
In a grocery store?
Yeah, 99%. You got to go to the organic produce, and even that's just Farmer's a paper
market.
Label. That's a paper label. No one's checking for organic. It's just a stamp that, you know, is you know.
Yeah.
That's why DIY, you know what you're putting into it. You know?
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, and it's a big learning curve for a lot of people because we're all trying to chase the buck to have the security, but... We've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. We're trying to ease that curve with these technologies to, you know, make the plants produce more, make your fuel costs go down, make your heating costs go down, not be exposed to as much radiation or chemtrails. This is where this technology comes into play.
Can I say something? It's about relationships and community, two things that have been gradually over the past few decades been systematically destroyed. I said on my show the other day that community is as important to the human body as vitamin C, and currently our society is suffering from a form of community scurvy.
That's beautiful, because they isolate you in a room and pump you with fear in the television and on the radio, and the technology, people hide behind their texts, and no one really talks to anybody anymore. They just shoot texts and Facebook blurbs and little thumbs up and likes and smiley faces.
Yeah, I mean, people are like ships passing each other in the night.
Exactly. You know, it, because they're caught up in the rat race, and they're trying to make ends meet, and they have, you know, everyone's hustling to make the buck and to feed their kids, and community is what is the answer, and that's where it's why it's going back to the farms. Is, you know, in the long run, the Venus Project, say, something like that, where it's a community-based, you know, let the elements, let the land heal you, work with the nature, man's not separate from it, we're a part of it, you got to work with it.
Well, you see that double helix, that one there behind you? That's actually how life is supposed to be lived. Everything intertwining, working together as one. It's separate, but it's still one.
Right. Well, now we're all separated, isolated, pumped with fear and confused, fat, sick, and broke. And we don't know that's empowering them. We need to self-empower with the knowledge, the info, the technology, and the basic, you know, good old-fashioned elbow grease or hard work or, you know, just getting back to basics here, not getting caught up and spit out in the system.
Mm. You know, if people go to the farmer's market, get to know your grower.
Yeah, that was actually another point that I was going to make as well. I'm sorry, continue.
You know what? He might even give you 2-for-1 oranges if you come there 3 weeks in a row. I don't think Albertsons will do that.
No.
They don't care. In fact, they want you to join a little card club. I'm not a part of your club, no.
Well, what do they use those cards for? They use it for market research to track what you buy so that they can send you emails to try and sell you more crap.
Exactly.
You know, learn who your farmer is. Learn who your grower is. See what his expertise is.
You know, it's actually quite interesting. If you go to a supermarket and you get a card, the company learns who you are. If you go to a farmer's market and you get to know a farmer, you get to know who the farmer is.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Turn the tables.
What are you feeding your chickens out there before I eat these eggs?
Dead chickens.
Probably. Well, I feed them dead chickens. Okay, next.
Hey, well, here, I know, actually, what's a, I came up with a chicken joke a while ago, what was it? Oh, yeah, what's a chicken's favorite type of classical, what's a chicken's favorite classical musician?
Eddie Van Halen.
Bach!
Bach!
Oh, lovely. Yeah, hey, wait, what was the other
Let's
one?
Let's go to classical music and plants for a second, if we may.
Like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, true, yeah.
Now, here's the biggest BS that's out there. You see, there were a team of doctors at UCLA, I believe is where that case was tested. If not, it might have been those idiots up at Yale. Anyways, so they played rock music and they played classical music, right? And what did these nerds find out? That classical music made the plants grow better.
Did they not try a control experiment by playing perhaps classic rock?
Well, now, yeah, exactly. I'll play anything. Now, I do not prefer listening to classical music. I really enjoy great rock music.
He's a rock guy.
Now, the plants in the observer in this case is the provider of the light and the water. You are God to your plants. They worship and love the wonderful rock guy that walks around and is happy. If you played classical music around me, the plants are going to realize that I don't really dig that music. So the case that it's complete BS. They liked classical music, and they were out to destroy rock in their experiment. Okay? You play rock music in my house, in my plants, with my frequency fertilizer, and I'm not a green thumb. I got a green body. I think I know the plant business a little better than the average bear.
I was thinking about this, actually, quite funny. You said that we are gods to our plants, and what that reminded me of is a scene from Wayne's World where Wayne and Garth meet Alice Cooper, and they go, "We're not worthy! We're not worthy!"
Metal gods.
The plants know what they sense the vibe. Now, plants, for instance, before the sun comes up, you have what is known as infrared in the sky. And the infrared is triggering the photosynthesis process, which brings up the nutrients from the plant and absorbs the moisture that was collected overnight. Because suck it up, boys. The sun's coming up. We gotta hold water today. Okay? Now, what I do is I hit infrared frequency every hour on the hour. The plant doesn't know that the sun's not coming up or not. We play birds music. We blast infrared on the plants via Bluetooth. Isn't that cool? I send infrared via Bluetooth on your cell phone. And we increase the yield considerably. It's like doing 24 push-ups a day instead of one.
Mm.
Get more buff.
Now, a friend of mine, he told me about this bit of technology that he was developing. It's a rotating PVC pipe that's packed with soil, and then you put all the plants in it. You drill holes in all of it, and you put a weed mat over so that the plants can grow out of the pipe, and they're all in a 360 degree format, kind of like a spiral. And then you have an LED light panel above the pole and a rotator. And as it rotates very, very gently, the plants always grow towards the light. And he found that you could increase the speed of plant growth by up to 700%.
Wow.
I thought that was very cool.
I'd really like to look into that.
Somebody
who's been in agriculture, you know what, bro? Thank you. That's something I've never heard of.
Hey, it's an idea and it's not patented. Steal it.
I don't believe in patents. You know what the patent has done? the you know, I hope our federal government, if they really want to wake up justices, you know, do something right and abolish the patent. Because here's what the patent does. It limits you to do business only in the United States. I got a great idea, so I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper so that China and India can go to the patent.gov website. And next week, it's at Target. So what am I going to do? Go over, knock on the emperor's door and say, will you guys please stop making these things? I got the patent. Good luck on that. Okay? It's a joke.
And the patent would cue them in as to what technology they can suppress next. Yeah. It's like a clearinghouse for which next to whack-a-mole. What's coming up next?
I saw the patent office as a technology gatekeeping, more or less. If somebody comes up with a piece of technology that's incredibly amazing, will actually change the world and threaten the current power base of the establishment, it gets suppressed. If they come up with a piece of technology that's really amazing and really cool and can make a lot of money for people without threatening the power of the establishment, it gets stolen. You know, nobody benefits. Or more to the point, actually, the creative people don't benefit.
Right.
Yeah, I've created a lot of great things out there. I own zero patents. I don't believe in them. And you know what? Some of my best friends who are the leading scientists today, they wouldn't patent this either.
Well, patenting is about saying, I own this idea in virtual perpetuity, and humanity has no right to access it or be benefited by it without my say so. That occurs to me to be inherently greedy and selfish to a large degree, as opposed to selfless and humanitarian, which is what traditionally most scientists who have come up with the greatest breakthroughs throughout history had ideas that they gave away for free. And I think there's an old saying, kindness is a sign of weakness.
I don't believe that one.
I thought that saying was created by somebody who was trying to justify the perpetual scumbaggery.
I agree.
It's like on the playground, it's the bullies beating up the geeks. The geeks are coming with all the ideas, and the C students and the bullies are coming by and just beating them up and taking their lunch money.
You're right. Okay, we'll leave that right there just for now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Thunder, the advanced quantum mechanics physicist, and Brad Molnar, the modern health coach. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest, Thunder, the advanced quantum mechanics physicist. I thought he was joking when he told me that's how I should refer to him, but he's actually been quite literal. And Brad Milner, the modern health coach. I knew he wasn't joking. Now, I would like to ask you fellas a question. Can I ask, how did you actually wake up, per se? Did you ever believe in establishment, indoctrinated thinking, public school, mind control, that kind of thing, and then have some kind of experience that broke you out of it and changed direction in your life? And if so, what was that experience?
Can I take this one?
Go ahead. 17 years ago, somebody handed me a cassette tape by the great Jordan Maxwell. Thank him. I had an experience atop Mount Charleston, Las Vegas, with a Palladian shaman who simply instructed me at the time to my mission was to go find the frequency vibration. I told him that's a little vague. Can you be more specific? Then the downloads started coming in handsomely every day, and well, that's what has propelled me over the last 17 years, 10 years underground, to complete this mission here on planet Earth to clean up the atmosphere, water, sickness, shelter, provide the world free energy. The list goes on and on. So I'm doing what I'm simply was instructed, and like I said, it was a little vague. To your mission is to find the frequency vibration. You were talking to a guy who, at the time, I think you got the wrong guy. Obviously, I'm not that guy. And but the more I got into this, and with all the confirmations that I've seen, I'm right on page, and I live in a 5-minute agenda. I believe in zero-point planning.
Could you define that?
Zero-point planning. Don't ask me for an appointment. Let's go surf 3 o'clock Tuesday, me and you, because the perfect wave will be there? Yeah, not happening. You got to live in the moment. So I live constantly in the flow. With Source, and I stay I keep my hair long for a reason. It's the intrinsic antennas that we receive our information.
That's similar to myself. Do you, like me, always forget everybody's birthdays because you're living in the moment?
I don't forget much, brother.
Oh. I guess that's my fault.
It's kind of like a sick elephant. it's pretty cool. I got recall not a lot of people have.
He's got recall like Schwarzenegger.
I'll tell you the date when it happened and where I was. It's a constant reflection that we bounce back off our neuron to come up. So I'll tell you what it is. It's exercise. Exercise for the brain is I have found in video gaming. Now, I discourage the kids to play video games 10 hours a day. But play an hour of video gaming and you have exercise for your brain. I also like to play a lot of Jeopardy. So I keep the mind active and it's a muscle. I'm not a bodybuilder, but... when I flex this, the thing I have on my shoulders, I will go toe-to-toe against any scientist on the planet today, bar none. So I'm modest, not conceited. Don't confuse being conceited for convinced.
Well, I think, what was it, Thomas Sheridan, he wrote the book called... Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of a Psychopath. He's an expert on psychopathic mentalities, which branched off to the study of narcissism to a degree. Narcissism is basically the love of oneself. And he says that there's two types of narcissists. All psychopaths are narcissists, but not all narcissists are psychopaths. Non-psychopathic narcissists are sometimes very gifted and talented and truly believe in themselves, and they appear like real dicks who are really overconfident and egotistical. That's what they appear like. But you take Bruce Lee and Muhammad Ali, both people who are saying, I'm the best, and so on and so forth, nobody can touch me, not because they were full of crap and egotistical, but because they frickin' were. It's what's known as a benign narcissist, and this is what Thomas Sheridan thinks that I am, this kind of thing. I don't know if you fit into that category, but who knows?
Brother, have you heard the rumors about me? And let's go for the record right now. I am not heavily funded by the Levi Corporation.
I've heard no rumors about you at all. I hadn't even heard about you until I interviewed you.
I'm a CIA agent. CIA to me is see ya. Last time they came to me, they asked me to build a drivetrain on a recovered ship, and I declined. So, I'm not that guy. I'm on the side of the fence that I believe that technology used in the right fashion is good, and that we are an evolved species. I'm not the same farm kid I was 20 years ago. Let's get real.
No, he is.
I've accepted the responsibilities, and I've stepped up to the plate and pointed my finger deep into left field. I'm confident because when you have complete strangers coming up to you telling you how wonderful your stuff is, and oh my God, you've saved my, you know, you took away my Lyme disease, you stopped my bone marrow. I can walk to the mailbox. I've never been able to get off the couch for 15 years. After a while, you're convinced. It's nothing more, and that builds my confidence to go out and do shows like this. You know, I'm primarily a very shy person. I may seem outgoing in that, but if I took away the butterflies right now, I'd feel a lot better. It happens every time I do. I've spoken at alchemy events, conscious life expos, been on George Norrie shows, been on several. I've declined a lot of interviews. Project Scam-A-Lot, don't come to me again and ask me for an interview. I have nothing to whistleblow for you. And they want to pump out stories that are, well, you know, Thunder's underground or he's in hiding because of his life is in danger. And when people start calling me and asking me these things, I'm like, no, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
What? So, I'm very, I play safe because I live in a 5-minute agenda. And if there's any chance of threat to me, I'm told to leave. I'm told to move. I'm direct with source very comfortably.
Well, you just reminded me of a quote that I've used on the radio a couple of times this week. Is a quote by Lao Tzu. He said, if you're anxious, it's because you're living in the future. If you're depressed, it's because you're living in the past. If you're at peace, it's because you're living in the now.
Yeah, well said. A half a second from now is the future. A half a second ago is the past or history. And we live in this revolving, alternating current known as reality. If you can see 10 seconds into the future, I guess people would think you're doing pretty good. I chose the path that I chose what I want to see 50 years from now written in history books. So you've heard of ancient history. This is ancient future.
Now, that reminds me of a speech that I gave at the David Icke conference when he came to New Zealand.
Love Dave Icke.
I said, there is only one moment. It's this one. And it's constant. It's going the whole way. That single moment has stretched the whole way through eternity and will stretch on the whole way through the future in perpetuity. Which, in a way, means that we get to share a moment with everybody who has ever lived or whoever will. And it's a very encouraging thought.
Yeah. You know, there were some scientists, I believe they were Catholic Jesuit priests, that
they believe that they can reenact the recording of the sounds of Christ who was hanging on the cross. When does your screams diminish?
Tree falls in the wood. Someone hear it.
It continues and is in resonance. Okay? If we could have had a digital photograph of Jesus hanging on the cross, we would actually be able to biophoton that picture and replicate Christ-like energy. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
And so that's what I do in my field of research. A lot of people around the world send me different photographs of things that they see in the sky. And they want to know if it's real or fake. Well, what I do is I look for the digital signature that is ran off the neuron of the occupant. Isn't that neat? Your brain wave is running your ship. So the outside call it unidentified flying, I don't know what. The fingerprint of the occupant who's driving it is on the outside of the ship. If you enlarge that photograph 3.5-4 million times, you can actually see the signature of the monatomic particle in motion, frozen in 2D. Mm-hmm. We can then transduce that frequency from 2D into a 4D setting. Again, like I told you, I was teaching the Video Gaming Academy. When you look at a video game, think of the car that you can look all the way around as you drive it. You're looking at it from a fourth dimensional view, correct? Now, we take that frequency and from a 2D resin, transduce it to 4D, but we burn it in 3D and print it there into a hologram. Now this is not what a hologram looks like. This is what a hologram would sound like in a perpetual state, just like the picture. It doesn't go away.
Like a holophone.
I like to call it a holobank.
Except it doesn't create dead out of nothing. And you said something before
quantum
about...
They're entangling. It's quantum entanglement, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said something before about if the tree falls in the forest. I was watching this presentation by Sir Ken Robertson, and he said he saw a very interesting T-shirt the other day. If a man speaks his mind and no woman hears him, is he still wrong?
Wow, I'm not going to touch that. I'm,
Anyway, moving on. We heard your wake-up story, which was the Jordan Maxwell tape, and your conversation with the Palladians, which kind of really advanced you down this new path. Brad, I was wondering if you had a bit of a wake-up story of that same, similar nature.
Well, for me, I was humming along good, doing environmental work and music PR for big DJs for a year, and everything was going great in New York City, and then I fell on an ice hockey accident, bashed my knee up, walked around chips, had the surgery on the hip in 03, the knee in 03, the hip in 05, and I was turned upside down, so I was left to look for my own solutions. And in the process of doing over the 20,000 hours of research in the last 10 years, about 20 hours a week, I came across one thing and another, started connecting dots, like I say, and turned my science degree loose on health and my beliefs. You know, I had a great life, and it kind of just got the rug pulled off from underneath me. Like, for instance, I was in New York City after 9/11, walked home that day, thankfully, saw it live, and lost my job, girlfriend, apartment all in 2 weeks. I had a cat in heat and no place to go. So I cried for a second. I laced up my shoes real tight, and I found 3 more environmental jobs and 3 more girlfriends in New York City over the last 3 years. And in the process of solving my problems, it became connected dots. And through my research, you know, if you look on my links page on my website, you can see all my mentors up there who I've learned from and sponged you know, we stand on the shoulders of our giant predecessors. So I really took that to heart, and through Google University, I was able to put all these pieces together and reinvent myself 2.0, because the 80s, 90s version wasn't cutting it in the 2000 and beyond world that we are in now. And so for me, it's been a, by falling on the ice on an ice hockey accident, chipped my kneecap, one thing led to another and kind of destabilized me till I had to metamorphosize and come out as a new butterfly flying up and down, you know, to spawn on, because now I've taken all those building blocks that I've used to reformulate myself, and I'm giving them out to the world to share, to they don't have to go through what I went through. And I've learned from a lot of people online and in person to bring me where I'm at today, and meeting the, you know, it's like you set your intention and the universe will meet you in the middle, but first you got to set your intention, and I did. And when I went to go look for it, and I went from New York to Los Angeles and kind of hatched modern health coach out there, and then in the reformulation process, one thing led to another, man, and it started clicking. And it's been exciting last 4 or 5 years, and it's, I'm over the hump. I'm out of the woods, still in the weeds a little bit, but definitely seeing the possibilities really shining bright here with everything that I've looked for, found, and has found me in the process.
Do you believe that having your life and things that you have grown to rely upon destroyed, and learning how to rebuild and or replace those things in your life, makes you stronger or weaker?
Yeah, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Sink or swim. I had the choice. I had the choice to sink or swim. I had the, you know, I could have taken the pills and the surgery, and I had the surgery that didn't go right, and I didn't take the pills, and it made me stronger. I have fortitude. I have willpower. I am not going to let some doctor tell me some bullshit scare story. I will rise above. And if you are that adamant about it, the source or the universe or the field will meet you in the middle on these things and give you those solutions when you need them the most. Mm. And it's almost blind faith. I just keep on chugging and doing what I do right. And it's all about setting the intention, and things will find their way back to you when you need them the most.
I've interviewed a number of people. in fact, I think maybe next week or the week after, my French associate producer, Guillaume, is going to be scheduling me a week of guests from the Sync Book Press about synchronicity and what have you. They've got a whole lot of different fields of research. And what I find interesting when you look into the science and the research into instances of synchronicity within the human race, what occurs to me is that if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, things turn up out of the blue to keep you on that path.
Yeah, yeah. When you're on the path and you're looking to go further, you're absolutely right. Synchronistic events will arise and let you know it's okay. I've had 30 dreams that I've had instances that I've lived. Months, weeks, years down the road, I have, and then I've read at the deja vu.
Example?
When I don't have the deja vus, I feel like I'm off path. Hmm. So I've lived 30 dreams already that have come true, little instances, like I'd be walking down the street and a frog jumped over and a song was playing, it was a blue sun day, and I was thinking about this, that, and the other. All these things synchronized together for that moment in a dream, and then I've relived that moment in my life, and it has me scratching my head, and that's the deja vu. When I don't have the deja vu, I feel like I'm off path. I've been having, you know, more since this all happened to me 10 years ago, and it's been a miraculous story for me, and hopefully inspiration to other people.
Mm-hmm. Have you experienced this yourself, Thunder, like an amazing synchronistic event, like, wow, that was exactly the perfect time for that, you know?
You know, the one that really comes to mind, my intellectual idol, Dr. Fred Bell. If you're not familiar with Fred Bell and Paradigm, That's a man who should have won the Nobel Prize repeatedly. After Fred Bell was, I don't want to use the word,
whacked.
After Fred passed away.
Yeah, let's just use a euphemism. Whacked. Whacked.
During his Jesse Ventura interview, I was called and I was told that Fred passed away. And my first thought was, great rumor, never happened. All we have to do is listen to what this man has written, and you'll live for the next 500 years, no problem. But when Fred passed, it was about 3 hours after that. You know, I thought I always had a problem with people who have mental breakdowns, or, you know, I'm like, don't know how that could ever happen. But I actually started to feel a calming, comforting voice. And, Fred said, hey, let's finish this job. So cosmically, I feel very connected to the great Dr. Fred Bell. A week or so ago, I did an interview with Robert Potter, who Robert worked with Fred Bell for 30 years. I'm like, man, that would have been something else.
Be a fly on the wall now.
Fred asked me in 2010 to join Paradigm, and I declined. I told him I didn't have time to get his team caught up to my speed. I had farther surpassed him just reading his books and being conscious. The confirmations. Confirmations are what I look for. You know, we can find truth and lies all the time, but it's the confirmation that spirit tells us what is real and what is not. So I don't believe in organized religion. Sunday mornings, I'll sit in a sweaty tent and with some greasy Indians and perform our ceremony. Now, the way we do that is that we go into a place that gets you very connected with who you are and what you're doing. So, to answer that question in a short phrase, over the last 17 years, I've seen so much confirmation that what I'm doing every 5 minutes at a time, I'm doing the right thing. If something feels wrong, then you're doing something wrong. And 5 minutes is all you have to repair.
Are you like me in that the reason we do what we do is not a choice, it's a lack of options?
Thank you.
Yeah. There is no other way. I mean,
I've been asked, what got you into this? And, I lost my fight with the FDA for liquid nicotine in a pump spray. They said I had far too much nicotine in the ingredient. Well, I said, fine, I'll create synthetic nicotine with no chemical discharge. I guess I don't need you guys anymore. I was being more or less a wise ass. I was just told that I cannot complete the 100 million bottle order that I have sitting, and that's why I need your FDA approval. I had a moment of clarity. I'd like to say a slight epiphany, if you will, where I walked across the street from the FDA. I bought a box of cigars in my troubling sorrow. As I set my credit card on the counter, I looked down at the little dove, eagle, or whatever it is on the Visa card logo, and I said, huh, I wonder what a hologram would sound like. And that was the catalyst, for lack of a better word, that I grabbed the pole vault, set the bar high, and went running. Mm-hmm. I knew that when I landed, I'd be in a soft place. So it came with zero fear. I am ruthlessly not intimidated by anybody. People can try things. It has been done. And what I've found each time that they have tried things against me, they're in the obituary. So I know forces of good have helped me, have pulled me out of danger. And I wondered sometimes, like, what am I doing breaking my shoelace? I'm supposed to be on that, you know, I'm supposed to be on that bus to make this ride, or otherwise, you know, this whole day is going to be a mess. Well, the bus exploded. Good thing I didn't get on it. So, you know, there's things that you just see that after a while, it makes you feel, you know, feel good. I pat myself on the back each night, knowing some of the things that I've done worldwide that I have never even spoken about. I've done things to help our planet in the Gulf. I've done things that certain labs around the world have tried to spread mass disease that they found their compound all of a sudden stopped working. I'm good with satellites, and I'm very good with lasers. I'm very good with quantum mechanics. So I use that as my protection.
Mm.
I'm unique. I'm a enigma. I chose a path where research became my drug of choice. I'm a research junkie.
Mm. I'm a scumbaggery junkie.
I'm not some laying in the gutter, homeless, heroin addict, junkie. I am a junkie for knowledge.
Yeah, wisdom.
When we spend our first 20 years learning in school, you leave school to get out in the world to start to think about what you learn. Then, all of a sudden, you have a creative idea. That's when you should get your diploma.
Mm.
You see, I love being creative, and I like staying in the creative moment.
Hmm.
There's not much I want to learn anymore, and there's nothing I really want to think about anymore. I only want to create and see the creation to create and solve problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Well, I think so many people are caught up in this. It's like, don't tell us the problem, tell us the solution. And my perspective is, number one, you're not going to come up with a solution unless you fully understand the problem. And number two, if you're trying to come up with solutions, I think it's mostly just problem solving rather than, you know, and that's essentially what it is. Human beings are problem solvers. And I think it's once you realize your own personal abilities and powers and what have you, then it matters not the discouragements that you get from other people who don't realize their power. That's the only reason why people discourage others from doing anything that's great and creative and wonderful and good for humanity, is because they're not actually doing anything themselves. And it's like a, because I can't do it, you can't do it. Well, mate, just frickin' watch me. And,
logic.
Yeah, and in that spirit, I wrote this poem last night. I was just, you know how sometimes when you're up really late and you maybe arguing with somebody on the internet, I saw a great Facebook thing, and it says, "Honey, come to bed." No, somebody on the internet is wrong. it was one of those moments, and I came up with this poem here. I'd like to read it to you.
Yeah, please.
I'm Vinny frickin' Eastwood. I am the slow blade that penetrates the shield, the hammer that makes eunuchs of pedophiles and rapists, the giant that crushes tyranny, a beacon of light that sends darkness scrambling in fear, the eagle's beak that tears the flesh, the raven's claw that prevents your escape, the protector of life and the harbinger of death. Beware my power, value my friendship.
Nice.
I will be the drone that looks over top of you and making sure you're safe, brother.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, somebody commented, Vinny is the yeast that irritates the fanny.
Whoa.
And I said, well, that's a bit far, but yes, I am that too. I am the fart that makes its way to the president's speaking podium.
You're doing a great job, brother. You know, I've listened to and done a couple of mostly interviews that I don't do a lot of interviews, by the way. I am very selective. I like to know the people that I'm talking to first.
See, I'm the opposite. I actually prefer not knowing who I'm talking to. It makes it a lot more exciting. Yeah.
You know, today is our very first time of speaking face-to-face. We've had a few exchanges on Facebook, on chat, but I came across your work, and I said, yeah, hey, this is the kind of guy I like. I like this style of interviewing. So
yeah.
You're doing an awesome job, brother, and you know, anybody who wants to say anything bad about you, shame on them.
They don't know what you're talking about.
Same with me. If you want to say anything bad about the guy who's just running around trying to fix the world's air supply.
I love the suicidal nihilism of that kind of perspective. Yeah, this guy's trying to save the world. Criticize him.
Your Honor, can we please stop this frivolous lawsuit? I'm here to try to help.
Yeah. Your Honor, this is a sham. It's a sham of three mockeries of a sham.
And like you said, you know, people who can't do what you do, they have nothing good to say about you. You know, there's garbage that's been posted out there about me over the years, and I see why I went underground.
Yeah.
I had to build the fortitude, and you know what? I'm just going to go out. I'm going to get my catalog complete. And now in the last year, since the research and development has been, you know, completed, now it's time to go out and put my message out there. I always stick to the same story. No one has ever said, well, you know, in this interview you said this. No, I keep to the same message every time. I believe in being a 100% person.
Mm.
Do you have children, Vinny?
Not yet.
Yeah, I got five.
Keep practicing.
You know? Yeah, keep practicing. They'll come out.
I enjoy the practice.
Practice is great.
It makes perfect.
But when you do have children, okay, are you uncle by any chance? Okay, yeah. So you're taking care of your nieces and nephews for the day, and the you know, the limo driver called in sick to take your kids to school, and the substitute limo driver he pulls up. Now, he's wearing a trench coat. He hasn't shaved in a few days. And you kind of have this feeling, okay? Are you going to put your kids in that car?
No.
No. You'll take them to school yourself.
Yeah.
That means you're 100% parent. Now, let me tell you what a 99% parent would do. Be sure to have them home by midnight. And they become statistics.
Yeah.
Okay? They're a 99% parent. I believe in being 100%. Thunder, nobody's perfect. You can't be 100%. I disagree. It's actually easier being a 100% person, real, all the time, and not having to scramble and think about different ways and angles. You don't have to.
Mm. Well, I think it's what you're talking about here is not bullshitting other people, nor bullshitting yourself. That's what being 100% person is.
Real human and not letting, say, technology surpass your humanity, or not going with the flow, but standing up on your own two feet as a vertebrate with a spine and a mind, and in the moment, in the, you know, making the call. It may go against the grain, but the grain is kind of chafed
sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're not opposed, whatever it is that you're doing probably isn't worth doing to a large degree. Like, I think resistance is what makes you strong. Like when you're lifting weights, for instance, you know, it's really hard and it's painful, but after you've lifted them for a while, you realize that actually that's not that hard anymore. It's actually quite easy. And I think people have... their spirit is like that as well, but they've refused to exercise it for so long that it's begun to atrophy and there is nothing left. It is wasting away slowly but surely.
Yeah, you got to rise to the challenge. And we're challenged on this world right now with a lot of problems that are about to boil over in one way or another. And if people, you know, we are waking up, but it's a slow process and it needs to accelerate, because we're in the linear part of this exponential curve right now with all the people on the planet,
And the problem with the NWO is they want their kids to have all the good things in the world, not our kids. So we need to get our kids educated back to community with the right information, right technology, and get this thing turned around quick, because it's going to go into a make or break 15th round TKO one way or another. And I don't like the way it's sizing up. So we're trying to wake people up, let them know this technology is real. Thunder's been at it for 10 years in his own right. I've been at it for 10 years in my own right. And we're bringing it out to the world in a edible, digestible format that's basically plug and play. Stick it on your gas tank. Stick it on your water. Put it on your cell phone. You know, ground things down. Put it on your windows for the thermals. We're getting real solutions here that...
You know what's interesting? Can I say this? What you've done is you've created the solution to our terrible consumerist society by using itself against itself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I admit it. Yes. Thank you.
That's brilliant.
Yes, yeah. I'm integrating against them.
Mm.
I'm not a threat. I'm a promise. There's a big difference.
Mm. Now, can I ask as well, when you do have a piece of technology like you got, and you take responsibility for ensuring that the public can, in fact, benefit from it, and you got to go into hiding, and you have all these, it's almost like I have this analogy of if you're in the long grass in Africa, and you can't see anybody, none of your friends are around there, you get lost from the group, and you know that there's a lion in the long grass with you. You stick your flag up. At the same time, the lion can see you, or your allies can see you as well. And it's a question of who reaches you first.
True. And with our flag, we've risen the flag and playing the song here.
Yeah, I'll take the lion, give him a Jedi mind trick, maybe a hologram with a nice laser attached to it, and put him down and asleep.
Well, it's like, you know how you play with those little laser pointers and you play with your cat and he goes like...
Oh, yeah.
Quite funny doing that with a lion.
This thing is crazy. I pull up frequencies on my cell phone, pull up my laser next to it, and shoot them at the chemtrails in the sky and render them inert.
Hmm.
But we can do that now. I can change the flavor in that drink across the bar from you there, shoot my laser pointer at it, and, your beer tastes different. And you go home without having any more dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's very real stuff. I'm well over the skepticism. Are you kidding? I've seen too much of that.
Can I ask you...
Yeah.
Do you believe that there is a difference between skepticism and cynicism, or are they one and the same?
I think there is a difference. I think skepticism is good, and that's how I've gotten to where I'm at, and Thunder's gotten to where he's at, because we didn't believe what the textbook said.
Yeah,
we were skeptical of what we were spoon-fed from the time kinder K through 12. We were skeptical of the Christopher Columbus story. And the earth was flat, the earth is round. We're skeptical until we do our own quest to get to a deeper meaning of this. Because what we were told and what is the reality is like, the 1%. It's a joke.
Now, can I also make an observation here? Some people define themselves as skeptics, but they do not equally apply their skepticism. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, if it comes from the establishment and it comes from the mainstream media, it's obviously true. I'm not going to be skeptical of it. But if it comes from an alternative website or researcher, I'm instantly skeptical.
Thank you. It's because they trust the authority figure, because the government said they saw it on TV. It was on the news. They trust the authority figure. When it comes from two guys that look like dudes, they're a little bit skeptical, because there's no way these guys could have pulled this off. What's the trick? It's just a piece of paper or a little sticker. So it's all about the perception, and that's the society that we are brought up in, that you have to have a badge or a hat or a lab coat
to make it stick, and that's the program runs deep, man. People go into war and die for this stuff, and it's a false flag.
Yeah. Here's my definition of a skeptic, if I may. Someone who has formulated an opinion that has not got my conclusion. I really want that guy on my jury, okay?
Yeah.
Let's be open-minded here. Let's get the facts and the conclusion, and then bring your skepticism to me.
Right.
But don't put up this wall, and don't go, hey, oh, wait, I know everything. Wait, stop right there. That can't be done.
We've heard it before, and we've blown out the water.
Okay. Hey, by the way, Vinny, do you know how every app in the world on a smartphone works?
By downloading them?
I mean, do you know how each app works?
I think the answer's obviously no.
Yeah, I don't either. Let me tell you how my app works. You hold a picture next to water, drink it, and you're cured. See, now, you just told me that you don't know everything in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That you are not a skeptic, that you are a... You are a researcher for the truth, and you are allowing a conclusion to be built based on that.
If I may.
Yeah.
The man who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing.
Exactly.
The man who says that he knows nothing clearly knows enough.
I don't know anything.
And I think it might have been a couple of years ago on my radio show, and I talked about the information age. Somebody told me once that the information age and the geometric growth of human knowledge with the advance of this age of digital technology that we live in, the amount of information that is currently on the internet grows by 50% every year. Like, we literally double our knowledge every year, minimum. And I theorize that technically, if that's the case, that means that all previous knowledge could, you know, conceivably, it's not likely, but it's a possibility, all previous knowledge could be conceivably discounted and disproved and changed the very next year.
Right.
And so if somebody comes at you denying what it is you're saying that it can't be true, that it's not possible, that there's no evidence for it and what have you, my response is, you know everything? Is that your argument for not listening to me?
That's because they watch the news.
You know,
well, Tom, I think it was Mark Twain who once said that those who read newspapers, only newspapers, are often less informed than those who read nothing at all.
I don't have a TV.
Yeah, same.
No. Yeah, hey, we just switched to digital television in New Zealand. We used to watch TV with the UHF frequencies and what have you until they shut them off, and we haven't bothered to get a digital decoder. I was just like, you know what? I think my TV watching days are over. It's a sign, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's called programming, right?
Yeah, for a reason.
Yeah. I believe in let me program you before MK Ultra gets a hold of you, okay? I think I can do a better job.
Yeah. Ultra is bad, okay?
Harp, come on, shame on you guys.
Yeah. Well, in fact, that reminds me of the Jesse Ventura episode where they investigated Harp and... Yeah. There were two bits in that episode that were like really, really funky. One was the bit where he put the pads on his neck and he could hear music in his head.
Yes.
And the second part was when they were right outside the Harp facility and they had three cameras and they all just suddenly went down.
Went down,
yeah. Yeah. And as soon as they went away from the Harp facility, they started working again. And I was just thinking... Could your technology, Thunder, be misused? Could it be militarized? Could it be weaponized?
Absolutely.
What could they do with that?
I can't tell you.
Best not to, I think.
I love the world.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the good hands over here, that's for sure.
Why I don't patent.
Mm. Because that's what happens when you patent, isn't it? It gives them access to these things, to misuse.
This entire show, I've told you about all the great things that we can do.
Mm.
Okay, we haven't even, and I will not talk about the bad things that I can do. Okay,
no room in it.
I don't have. I believe in karma cash. I'd rather get paid.
Yeah.
Karma cash is worth more than that deflating thing they call. I don't know what is that thing.
Toilet paper.
Yeah. Look at 1492. North America received its first home invasion kidnapping. And the reason I say that, because Columbus had to actually physically come here and steal some Redskins to take them back to Europe and to prove to the world that it is round and that we live in a 3D world. Prior to that, we were living on a 2D planet. 500 years ago, we only had one. We only had two dimensions. Okay, wow. Didn't it take what the nightly news to tell the world that there was a new place? Probably took maybe 100 years before everybody on the planet even realized that Columbus had discovered a new land. Okay, so if we took a year to realize that, okay. Okay, it's round. It's round. Okay, we got that. How long is it going to take to say we have 91 dimensions and I concur with Michio Kaku? Ooh. Where's the Redskins? You got to prove. Okay, so I went out and went to a lab and got some proof. And what did I find? Yeah, I don't know how that's possible. So, evolve comes in understanding. And our society has done a bad job of understanding things because they were taught wrong things. Get out of teaching, and get out of thinking, and go to creativity. And now you realize we're all brothers and sisters here. We're all trying to do good. Those who don't want us to do good are not very good big brothers, are they?
Well, I was thinking about, as you're saying, this downloading, right? And you've experienced this in a very real sense.
Median contactee. What are you, joking? Yeah. I know all about that, yeah.
And on the flip side, I was thinking about, you know that scene in The Matrix where they load all these combat programs? And he just leans over and he goes, I know Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu.
Right. I would love it if we actually had that technology. If you could literally, by your choice, download a program that stops you being a freaking idiot who believes in the establishment.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we can attach that frequency off of a shortwave radio where I recorded the harp signature.
Yeah, and then, you know, you would roll over and you, to Trinity and you go, I'm no longer retarded.
Yeah, there's another guy who recently did a show that I saw. You know, I don't like to call people out, but, you know, I had a problem with some of the things that he said. And this comedian slash human cockfight announcer... challenged some things that were disturbing to some of my colleagues and friends out in L.A. I'm not buying this whole harp thing. You got the guy who sat there and invented it and showed you what's wrong with it, but you're not buying it? So, who are you, dude? This guy's a flipping scientist, and you're some comedian game show host. Okay? So, Rogan, if you want to talk to me, come see me someday, bro. And we'll see how smart you are. I'll hurt your feelings really bad. One of my best friends is Sean Stone.
Hey, let's find out. Let's issue a challenge to Joe Rogan. Joe.
I'm calling Sean.
Joe.
I'm calling Rogan. Come on, brother.
Come on, Rogan. All right. Come on. Have an interview with Thunder, and we'll see if fear is effective for you.
Yeah, this man, you know... What Joe Rogan believes in some esoteric things, but he wants to go out and investigate them. At the end of the day, you're getting paid, Joe. Shame on you, bro. So yeah, I'd be happy to sit down with Joe Rogan on and call me out. Okay. Other great minds out there that have had problems with me in the past, come see me too. Sit down and do an interview with me and bring a very big lunch. I'm hungry.
The proof is in the pudding, so, you know.
I mean, what we've been told, let's face it, suck up to it. You've been lied to, all right? Now get over it, you little snot-nosed kid. Grow up.
Hey, that reminds me of another Mark Twain quote. He says, it's far easier to convince people of a lie than it is to convince them that they've been lied to.
Right. Yeah. People don't want to – they love their red, white, and blue. No way would the government lie to me. They're on TV, you know. It's just the program runs deep, and we're here to, you know, retreat and reprogram. That's what we got to do. Control-Alt-Delete, reboot. 2.0, all right, it's 2013, we're still getting 20 miles to the gallon.
Actually, it's 2014.
2014, we're still getting 20 miles to the gallon. He's a coach, not a doctor, come on.
Hey, come on, you're being semantical here.
For instance, you know, so, like, why are we in this position? Because the establishment has squashed anything that's good that's come along, because it doesn't let them in. The good old boys got it all locked up. All right, and we're cutting into the piece of their pie because we're going to cut the utility bills and we're going to save you a little gas, and that pisses them off. So it's like whack-a-mole. When something gets big, they try to squash it down. But we're going to get this in so many hands on the public sector that it's not going to happen.
You can't stop the masses when the masses unite. Period.
Yeah. Well, I had this realization, which we were discussing here a number of days ago, that if you get large enough to make a real difference, and Alan Watt, you're familiar with Alan Watt, he told me this as well. If you get large enough by yourself to make an actual influential difference, and if they can stop that by eliminating you, they will. And the realization dawned on me, my radio show is becoming more popular as the years go on, and I was theorizing, what if I had, say, theoretically, once you get 10 million listeners, if you're not BSing people, you get taken out or bought off or co-opted or something of that nature, right? Theoretically speaking.
Yeah. You move to Austin and you have a crappy radio show. I don't know.
So what if the intention changed? What if my intention was not to get 10 million listeners? What if my intention was to get 1 million listeners and teach 10 people how to get 1 million listeners as well?
You got very good goals.
That way, you're we proud. Have the same effect to destroy and derail the evil scumbaggery New World Order agenda without even getting on their radar. Like a knife in the dark between the ribs.
Yeah. Stop feeding the Waltons, man. Don't go there anymore and shop. You know, if every day, just one day a week, everybody just stopped buying gasoline.
Or didn't buy anything from China or you know, saved this and that. You know, it's your voting dollars, and people don't realize that it's one person at a time. We will go... You know, you got to change the minds one person at a time. You start in your neighborhood, you start with your family, you start in your school, in your church, or wherever, and you just keep talking the talk. We walk and talk this stuff all day. Thunder went to get mail down the street the other day and got some Hopi lady that's stoked on this and wants to help with funding. I mean, you just keep living it and don't believe these pessimistic, you know, tool bags that are out there that don't know any better that shoot this stuff down. It's real, it's happening, and you can't stop it, because once you get it into the masses with a simple hologram sticker, for instance, or just conscious, it's being aware of the stacked deck against us, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and that's what we're trying to fulfill, you and us, and the people that are on shows like this, that are making a difference, you know, one mind at a time, you know, and we've changed ourselves, like Gandhi says, you know, be the change. That's what we're trying to live this through, because the world is out of balance. It's sick. It's fat. It's broke. And it needs a swift boot in the ass to get fixed.
Now, another thing that occurred to me while you're saying that is something I repeat many times, and it bears repeating again.
Okay.
People ask me, you know, they want to become a radio show host like me or a YouTuber or whatever, and they ask me for help or something of that nature in order to start them off and down that path. And I said, that's your first big mistake. Don't ask for help. Do it yourself, and help then starts to arrive, not the other way around.
Exactly. And trust your gut. Your stomach and your brain are intimately linked with lots of neurons and nerves, and you trust your gut. That will lead you true. Don't listen to all these people. Trust your gut.
Oh, yeah. I had somebody offer me a gig on another radio network the other day, and the way they were talking to me gave me that gut sensation. There's no freaking way. you know what I'm saying? You get that sensation, especially when people are offering you something that would benefit you. If you get that bad sensation in the middle of such an offer, there's something very wrong, and stay the frack away from it. Now, gentlemen, we've come to the end of the second hour. This is only a two-hour broadcast, and it's unfortunate. but my question is, and I want to run this by you, and this you'll be the first people I've actually run this by. Would you like to do a third hour?
Sure. Let's roll the dice, brother.
Okay. Well, let's take.
You've never had a three-hour show before?
Never, not once.
All right, we're breaking new ground. How about
I'm a pathfinder, so trailblaze it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's take a 5-minute break, and we'll be back for the very first third hour of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
J-E-T, you are so good for me. You are my jet stream lover. You're how I wanna be. J-E-T, you are so good for me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third hour, the very first third hour of Vinnie Eastwood Show history, which is good because it spanned, and I started the show back in 2010, and we're now moseying on into 2014, and I've wanted to do a third hour for the last probably 18 months, and the studio was simply unable to find a slot suitable. And conveniently now, I am self-published onto the website, so I don't have to follow anybody else's frickin' rules or schedules, and that's just dandy. Now, my very special guests, just a reminder for those of you who might just be joining us now, and if you're only just joining us now, I don't know what is wrong with you, because you can't miss those first 2 hours. Thunder, the advanced quantum mechanics physicist, no joke, son. And Brad Molnar, the modern health coach. Welcome back, boys.
Thank you. Appreciate the bonus round.
Now, as a douchebag radio host, normally I lead off and ask a question and or a statement and what have you, and attempt to lead the conversation somewhere. I'd like to give you that opportunity. Is there anything that's on your mind, something you'd like to say?
Like to give shout outs to my loved ones. I just got off a phone call here with my, you know, a very good friend and a friend of yours, and he told me to say hello, Mr. Sean David Martin.
Yes. Sean.
And, you know, he's going to, you know, he just called and said, hey, we got some Disney passes out here. Love to take you and your daughter out to Disney again. You know, this is the kind of guy that, awesome. You spend time with his wife and my children at Disneyland. That's friendship, you know, and I love Sean dearly for his fortitude, what his conviction and what, you know, he goes out there and does every day. I respect. I'd love to give a shout out.
For those who are unaware, Sean David Morton, you can listen to his show on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Just wanted to give a plug for him there. Sorry,
please.
To continue.
Love Sean. I'd like to give a warm love and respect to my art department. I have an art department that is a freelance artist. His name happens to be Lance. And
but he's not free, incidentally.
He's a barter. He's awesome. Lance also, he's an artist with some of the great mathematicians and scientists in the world. He's found a unique niche. Guys like myself, we didn't do very well in art class. I didn't do very well in English class, but I did pretty good in math and science. So, art department is very instrumental in tying me with some of the great minds. Marco Roden, love him greatly. Vortex based mathematics. We've sat down, had some wonderful intellectual conversations, and we concur on so many things. If I look back in my life, there's so many people I can't. Smartass Mendez. If you don't know Smartass, friend this guy at Hollow Tech Chat. He's started a little case study on his own out there in the east part of the United States. Folks that have used my technology and exchanged their results in a very open floor format. We've done some great things here recently with Lyme disease. Brad and I here, we worked on a program here recently with over
235 codes for Lyme disease.
Just for Lyme disease.
You got to get the egg, the larva, the adult, the pupa, all different stages, all different frequencies, all in one hologram. Lyme away.
Lyme away. Great name.
Does it like also manage to prevent British sailors from coming anywhere near you?
Limeys.
haven't
got that code yet. That's behind the
I'm working on that.
like it's just like it reminds me of that scene in A Bug's Life where there's you know those bug zappers that you have out on your porch and those mosquito ridden areas of the States or what have you, and they just get zapped. It's like, Jimmy, don't do it, I can't help it, it's so beautiful. And I'd love something like that, you know, if I had like a politician zapper or something that they were uncontrollably drawn to me, and at the moment that they touched me or talked to me, they dropped dead electrocuted. That would be fantastic.
Weapon. I'd like to thank EpicEnergyNow.com for their wonderful video work that they've done. I had a chance to tour. Here's a great man I respect. His name is Jay Rogers. He is a company called Local Motors, and they're in Chandler, Arizona. They are near Phoenix, yes. They are the builder of the most beautiful car in the world. It is called a Rally Fighter. And we had a chance to tour the plant. They have a open, it's called the Local Motors Labs, where local people can, well, first off, they hire locally, they employ locally, and they're drop shipping a micro manufacturing plants throughout the world.
And we deeply love and respect what John Rogers, Jay, has done. And think of this. He's got a Hummer with a Corvette engine and a two-seater that kind of looks like a futuristic Camaro body. You've seen trophy trucks out there. This is a trophy car. And if we can... The first manufacturer out there in the world, because we only have three here in the United States. If you take a look at the way the cars are built, Ford, General Motors, and that, they have the half of the factory is the paint department. Very toxic area. They replaced the paint department with a laptop, and they simply shrink wrapped the car. And the car was built by. Online voting, what people like. And, you know, I like that format. So watching the video there, you can get yourself a PhD in micromanagement without the cost and time going to school.
Mm.
And companies like this, I embrace. You know, I think the world, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but China has 2,500 new car companies that popped up last year.
Last year?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
I saw the cars while I was at the California Environmental Engineering Lab getting my product tested. And I walk into this room where there's, my gosh, there must have been about 1,500 cars. And I didn't recognize any of them. Some of them were being sold for around $6,000 to $8,000 brand new. And they were micro manufactured. So,
but they got holograms on them. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. With Rally. Yeah.
With Rally.
So with Rally, you know, that's the first company that, and look, I got an L3 Corvette engine that blows zero emissions. Now I got the upper hand when I walk into Detroit and say, you know, you don't even guys have a four-cylinder that blows emissions like your high-performance Corvette crate motor that left this factory. Do you care to explain why not? So, you know, soon the bandwagon will erupt. We're looking for any manufacturer out there who wants to stop pollution. You know, get a hold of us. We're here to stop pollution.
You are the pollution solution, literally.
Pollution solution, period.
It's not dilution.
Hey, in fact, there's a good company name or website name, yeah? PollutionSolutions.com.
That is a good name. Yeah, let's check that out on GoDaddy after the show.
Well, make sure you type it down somewhere so we don't forget, because I find whenever you're having really interesting, intense conversations with people, there'll be so many great things. Oh, but then again, it's recorded.
He said forget? No.
you don't forget. You don't forget. I forgot. I forgot that you don't forget.
There are some things that I forget. I forget how to grow old. I forgot how to get sick. I forgot a lot of things that a lot of people don't.
To pay your taxes.
Yeah. It just slipped my mind these last 17 years, you know.
I'd like to give a shout out to one of my besties. His name is Mario, and sad to say, he lost after I think 19 years. He lost his kitty cat this week. That cat has been on my system after it had a very bad accident where they put rods and stuff in its leg. It was just so sad to see the cat. That was about a decade ago. The cat died at 19 years of age, so I know that was his best friend. You know, it's his pet. Me and Mario worked very instrumental in pioneering a lot of this work a decade ago, and our next step is to broadcast them in video gaming, like I mentioned, and in the film industry.
It's interesting you should say that, the video gaming. Have you ever played what was it, Grand Theft Auto Vice City? They have these little dialogues, that kind of thing. It's about the cat. The guy's name's Mario, and when you're walking around one of the big mafia kind of mansions, I think. They have all these gangsters walking around. They say little lines of dialogue and stuff. One of them is, "Forget about it, Mario."
Well, they give props to their teacher, I'm sure, down there at...
Oh, I know how painful it can be to actually lose a cat, and my most traumatic experience in that case was, I think about 5 years ago when I was still, when I was just starting doing this, and was really, really unable to support myself financially speaking, our cat got really, really, really badly sick, you know, like, couldn't eat, couldn't drink, couldn't move, he was dying, and he was suffering. And we couldn't even afford to take him to the vet to put him down humanely. I had to kill him myself. My boy that I loved really intensely, I had to break his neck with my own hands, and it actually really destroyed me.
Tap it out with EFT, emotional freedom techniques. Even though I killed my cat, I deeply, completely love and accept myself. While you tap on the ends of your TCM spots, that can help. Yeah. That's pretty brutal, but you did it for his best, and he's in a better, as they say, place.
Yeah.
I know a case where I was called. I'm not going to drop names here because, it's not necessary. But I will say that there was a very prominent dentist in the Beverly Hills area, and her husband is a... he's a very well-known and respected director in Hollywood, and their daughter called and said that their dog was being treated with chemotherapy, and the dog wasn't doing very well.
Mistreated, yeah.
So I went over there. I dropped some holograms in the little bed that the dog was sitting in, and moments later, the dog got up. Was walking, wagging its tail. And within about 45 minutes, I actually watched the tumor shrink on its belly. The next day, I got a call where the daughter was upset. In the middle of the night, the parents called the veterinarian to put the dog down. I was troubled by that, but I understood why they did it. And as a medical dentist doctor and a well-known Hollywood director, if it got out there that stuff like this, unconventional alternative therapy worked, they could possibly be blackballed from, you know, their industries. So they really had no choice. And that was the real first wake-up call that I saw where you're embarrassed. And the only thing that you can do is to cover the embarrassment. That's why I'm not dropping names, but you people know who you are. And if you ever listen to this, I want you to ponder that day when I went out there to help. I only did one thing, and I only had one thing on my mind, was to make the family pet loving again. That was a little too much for them to handle, and I understand their decisions. I've seen it all, bro. I think Axl Rose said it best in a song, Paradise City. What? Are you blind? I've seen it all a million times. Well, that is Axl Rose now, so you must be blind if you don't think this guy hasn't seen it. So, I think the world has awoken. It was a long, dark night, but daybreak is here, and I'm not going away. Brad's not going anyplace either. You can listen to Dr. Oz, Ozzy. You can listen to Dr. Ozzy. He sits in an office, or you can listen to your coach.
And he has shares in pharmaceutical companies that promote vaccines that he and his wife on a smaller network admitted they never give their children.
Oh, well, you know, he's got his hands tied, but, you know, a coach is out there on the field, and he knows his players, and that's what Brad is doing.
I selected Modern Health Coach as one of the companies that will handle my technology out of integrity. Brad's been out there in the field, walking up and down the aisles of Conscious Life Expos, Health Freedom Expos, the alternative cutting on-floor trade shows. Like myself, I've been out there at these places and meeting people coming by. And I met Brad, and you know, Brad's like, "Hey, Thunder, I've been using your stuff for years, bro. I'm finally glad to get to meet you." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Really? Huh. What else do you do?" And he shows me his line of frequency devices, his knowledge and understanding in health and nutrition. And I go, "Congratulations, you earned. You earned. Without the 1.5 million license agreement to do business with me, you've earned the right to carry my product line."
Mm.
So it's about,
Well, can I explain? I was just thinking about something as you said there. The definition of a good man and what compels and restrains him. Three things. Honor. Integrity.
Integrity.
And moral obligation.
There you go.
Moral. Or obligation. I like that. I feel that this technology has been bestowed on me as a moral obligation for me to go out there and share. I'm not a, you know what? Apparently, I'm not into it for the money. Otherwise, I would have took the $80 million from Mitsubishi a decade ago.
Yeah.
I can't buy a 747 with $80 million. And I think cleaning up the world's pollution comes with a moral responsibility that I'm not sure Mitsubishi, who builds every engine in the world, if they only build 10% of all the cars in the world, then we only reduce 10% of the pollution. I don't want my grandkids pissing on my grave 50 years from now because, you know, granddad sold out and we don't have any oxygen. So I love my kids. I have five beautiful, wonderful, healthy kids who have never been vaccinated, by the way. I was one of the pioneers out there when my kids wanted to attend public schools. The doctors, you have to have your kids vaccinated.
More like they've been indoctrinated.
Exactly. I sat down with the doctor and I told her, I go, "Well, why do I not want my kids vaccinated? Because I do not trust the pharmaceutical companies and what they're putting into the vaccine. I've done enough homework that I regret my parents vaccinating me. And, if there's something wrong with my kids, you know what? I'll find the solution for it and fix them. I trust my medical research much better than my medical training that could have been done if I went to school as a doctor."
That's sick care.
And doing your rounds with...
Have you noticed how doctors don't actually care for their patients? They care for the sickness their patients have.
Yeah, it's sick care. It's crazy. My brother actually works in hospital administration. He does labor to bed ratios. He maximizes the nurses' profitability, how much they can stretch out a nurse and run them frazzled, and how many beds and how long you can keep them in the hospital, and how much you can milk them, cash-wise before they die. Most of the costs are in the last year of your life.
They've turned human suffering into a business.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, that's my brother, God love him, but we're on opposite ends of the battlefield here. And like Thunder was alluding to, the coach is on the field with the new playbook, all right? The doctor's got a played-out playbook. It ain't going to get you 1 yard from scrimmage. I've got the playbook that I've reinvented and reconfigured here that gets results, man. You cannot get sick or cancer if your blood is slightly alkaline. Otto Warburg, Nobel Peace Prize, 1953. That's that. No one's telling you that little dirty secret. Alkaline, oxygenated, and voltage. The higher your pH is, the more voltage you can hold. The more voltage you can hold, the more dissolved oxygen you can hold. That's the key to health, not protein, carbon, fat, pH, voltage, and DO. So if you can eat the greens, get the minerals, every disease can be traced back to a mineral shortage.
And when a plant doesn't have all the minerals, it attracts pests. When you don't have the minerals, you attract pests.
Well, does that mean I think that our society is mineral deficient, and that attracts pests, like politicians. You know, politics. Poly meaning many. Ticks meaning a blood-sucking insect that puts its entire head beneath your skin and sucks 900% of its own body weight in your blood, and then gives you Lyme's disease, and then buggers off.
Good God. It's in the language. Think about it for a second. It's built in, and the language is powerful. When you use these words, you got to check it to wreck it. Make sure you're aligned with what you want to be, or you will become what you say.
Mm-mm.
It's that easy. You know, believe, behave, become.
Yeah.
So, you become what you say, I say.
I have a Latino daughter, by the way.
My bad.
Okay,
I got a Latino child. I have 3 Native American children, and I have a white child. So you know what? I'm looking for an Asian, maybe a black.
Global domination.
You're gonna be like in the Big Lebowski. You know how he walks in, and he goes, "These are Mr. Lebowski's children," and they're like all these inner city youth and whatever. And he goes, "Wow, different mothers, huh? He, racially, he's pretty cool." And he's like, "No, they're not literally his children."
Yeah. I'm trying to run for UN, so apparently I'm not prejudiced. So,
not prejudiced enough for the UN.
Yeah, no, I don't want the job there either. But I'd do a good job if I was there. I pretty much clean house and tell people how it is. And I have a speech prepared for Congress. I do expect and, you know, stand in front of Congress someday. My speech goes similar to this. According to our accountants apparently I owe you some $700 billion or a ridiculous fee. Before I give that to you, would you take 10 minutes of your busy day? I got some words of advice where I think the money should be spent. Give it back to me. Leave me the flip alone. You guys would piss it off on some military exercise and blow up an island somewhere. Me, I'd just give it over to education where it belongs. Let's overhaul the kids and let's get them to...
Preferably not the current public education system, because as far as I know, in terms of increasing intelligence and awareness of the world, it's doing the exact opposite.
Right. Well, the kids' creativity is peaking by 5. When they go into school, it drops like a sheep off the cliff.
Mm. Well, my friend Mike, he showed me a video by Sir Ken Robertson, and he quoted Picasso, "All children are born artists. The trick is to remain an artist as you grow older."
Yes, exactly. Creativity. Very good. Stop learning and stop thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I find that very interesting. I've had arguments with people who are fresh graduates from university, and what's funny is that they've just become educated, they've just gotten their diploma, and they think that their learning is over.
Now, well, they're smart enough to punch a time clock, dumb enough to question authority.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what they want. You know, make the little widget, but don't question when they say your microwave's safe for you. Don't even question that. Just keep making the little widget and everything's cool. It's not, man. It's a racket.
Yeah. It's a scam. And what I find interesting is that there was a great documentary made that featured The college conspiracy was called, and it featured Gerald Celente. And
I like him.
I got to interview him for 15 minutes. It was like some of the best 15 minutes in my life, apart from this interview here, of course. And he said in this documentary that he looks for employees, not employees that have qualifications, or a standing in the community, or job history, or whatever. He's only looking for one thing: strip mining, like we strip mine the earth for minerals, right?
Yeah.
Passion.
Passion.
It's the only thing that's actually valuable in an employee, because a passionate employee doesn't care how much he's being paid, doesn't care how many hours he's working, because he's passionate, he loves it, he does it, he breathes it, he lives it.
Well, we're passionate about what we're doing, and we're self-employed, thank God, because we couldn't do what we're doing in the widget world.
you know, our passion is what fuels us. We get up in the morning psyched to create a new frequency or to talk to some new people and share it and then see their reaction. We get off when we see your facial reaction when you go, oh, my God, it actually worked. My exhaust smells like a dryer. WTF, no way. Yeah, for real. It is real, and that's our passion is seeing. I get off and I see their face lit up after they just had an aha moment.
Oh, I love it.
You know, that's the payday to change lives. Because I know when I was turned on to these things, when I was looking hard, high, low, and deep, it gave me hope. It gave me a sense of like, wow, there is a solution to this problem, X, Y, or Z. It's out there. You got to turn them stones over. If you don't turn the stones over, you ain't going to find it, you know?
I can totally relate to that. I get messages from listeners every now and again saying those exact things, you know, you gave me hope, or I was going to commit suicide, and now I don't want to anymore because I'm enjoying your show. You know, these kind of things. I found that when you are changing other people's lives, it changes you, and never for the worse.
No, it just galvanizes your passion.
Yeah.
After you get the positive feedback, like, great, I broke through. Like, I talked to my cousin today. She had an ovarian cyst on her insides, and doctors didn't give her hope. She listened to me, and it's gone. And she thanked me today and asked me, what else can I do? And I was happy to talk to her and give her the guidance, but she listened. A lot of people you were talking about earlier think they know it all. The people that think they know it all don't know shit, and the people that don't think they know anything are the ones that you can teach and the ones that are open to it.
You cured your ovarian system.
You got to squash the ego and know that there's more than just yourself. You know, the sum is more than the parts, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
All the parts together, you got a super duper sum. 1 + 1 = 11.
Well, and again, as I said earlier in the broadcast, community, you know, relationships more or less, are as vital to the human body as vitamin C, and we currently suffer from community scurvy.
True, and the true as can be, man. And
I have a fun thing I like to say. I like to say Chief Thunder believes in taking care of the tribe first.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Chief Sitting Bull?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved his quote. What does he say? When the white man came, we would live with our families. The women would take care of the children. The men would go out fishing all day and then come home and make love to the women all night. Only the white man is stupid enough to think he can improve on that.
Well, technology's brought us somewhere, but it's definitely leaving us hanging, you know? Like I was saying, our humanity, our technology has surpassed our humanity. And we had it good, and then we reformulated it, and we, you know.
Einstein said something like that. He said, when technology surpasses the human capacity to understand its implications, we will truly have a nation of morons.
There you go. Case in point. United States of America, United Corporations of America, is dumb as can be. The average United States citizen resonates at pride, 175 on the David Hawkins consciousness scale. 200 is courage, where you accept responsibility for your own actions. 500 is love and enlightenment, 700, 1,000. The least is shame at 20. You can calibrate this through kinesiology and muscle tests and see what you resonate at. The average American resonates at pride. My dad will beat up your dad. My God's better than your God. And pride.
No, that's funny. I remember when I was in primary school, elementary school, as you'd call it, somebody said, oh, my brother could beat up your brother. And I said to him, so let me get this straight. Somebody who isn't you could beat up somebody that isn't me. And you're using that as a threat. It's called frickin' stupid, man. All right.
International diplomacy.
I can relate. I recently had somebody tell me, you know, well, these guys, they're too big. They won't even talk to you, Thunder. And I go, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from them.
Yeah.
Because I think after I had a conversation sitting down with them, they're going to realize they're really not that big.
Yeah. Well, what you say can be shocking to people. That's why they call it the voice of thunder.
No.
Yay.
That's why Thunder and Light team is going to take all of us. The Thunder has hit the ground, not a lightning, and the ozone smell is in the air, so people are waking up. Little oxygenation to the brain never hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, just out there collecting my light team.
Yeah.
Light team. It sounds, thunderandlightteam.com is where you can find it. Our department is working on that, and it looks really beautiful. It's not finished, but, it's work in progress, and that's what we do. We are always work in progress 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, and I think that's the antithesis to current American culture, where there's a hell of a lot of work, but no frickin' progress.
We don't make anything. We just move money around and call it job security. We don't make anything. The number one export out of the United States is entertainment. Number two is military. So we keep them pacified and then keep everyone armed up.
The two official exports that are number one in the United States is scrap metal and debt.
Okay. Well, wow. Well, yeah, we do have a debt problem here.
We've got so much debt that we need to export it.
Take all our junk. We can't pay anything more. We're in debt. Take all our scrap metal.
Thing is, there used to be a thing in America called industry, which produced things.
Yeah.
Real, tangible things. Objects. Yeah. There was an industrious nature among the people who were capable of creating and manufacturing devices of incredible quality that actually improved people's ability to even live life and to do things. It no longer exists. The America of yesteryear is gone, and I believe it can be brought back. I know some people think hate is a strong word, but I hate the mentality of some Americans who believe that their country is lost and lost forever and can never be back. It can never resurface. It can never experience a renaissance. Never, 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 never. These people have lost faith. And as Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, said, humanity, and particularly America itself, is suffering from a crisis of faith, not in God, not in their authorities, but in themselves.
Yeah. And I think Thomas Jefferson said, you have a right to a revolution. You know, that's your God-given right. And not to revolt, but just to reinvent our way of being and not be such mindless zombies going to the store and punching the time clock.
Mm.
You know, the only profitable department inside the U.S. government is?
The CIA, with all the drugs that they ship in from Afghanistan. You know, I got you there!
You know what the second in the United States government is?
Shoot.
The Agriculture Department. Department of Agriculture, which, you know, pays for food stamps that comes from the Department of Agriculture.
Hmm.
Our trading with other countries is what generates the revenue in stockpiling. Now, if I look at what GMOs are doing and what Russia and China is feeling about the way we're putting our GMOs, I consider this our biggest threat to World War III. It's GMOs. Now, if the government is making more profitability in one department, in agriculture, shouldn't agriculture be treated with the utmost respect?
Yes.
And research in agriculture and plants? I know, out there in the reverse engineering industries and fields and factories that I've toured over my lives, I've actually watched companies who have grants to come in and do research, find scientists that are discovering wonderful things. Then the project is scrapped. Well, why don't you guys use what you did for the research? Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spend money and learn and research, but we're not supposed to come out with any solutions with it.
No.
Job security. It's just job security.
This is true, and in fact, that reminds me of something I said about politicians a number of years ago. As I said, people think that a politician's job is to solve problems, and I said, no, their job is actually to create problems so that they can facilitate their continued employment.
It's almost like what David Icke says with the problem reaction solution. They create the problem, and then, oh, I'll fix it, and then they put it more in debt or more under the thumb.
Yeah, and they do it a little bit at a time, what David Icke calls the totalitarian tiptoe, which I thought was a brilliant term.
Yeah. And it's alive and well, and,
Tales of the Time Loop, I believe was his book, about 03 when it came out. The Truth Will Set You Free, I'm sorry. Reading that was like what we talked about earlier. That was one of those confirmation points, you know. Wow, these are things that I believe, and others have written about it. Mm-hmm. I like this. Word has to get out.
Yeah.
There's other guys out there I don't spend a lot of time listening to. They've been infected. And an infection corrupts the brain to a point where your karma cash is soon going to be depleted. It's not going to be a pretty picture when it comes raining down when truth is, you know, unveiled.
Mm. Well, the truth just isn't pretty. I think that's one of the things that I've discovered in my life that I find is very sad.
He tells the truth.
Pardon?
Brad's a good-looking guy. He tells the truth.
I know, but he's not the truth. He's Brad. The things that come out of his mouth are freaking ugly.
To some people.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like...
people don't want to believe the depths of depravity that our government and the people behind the shadow governments do. They don't want to believe that there's these agendas out there because it shatters their... waving their flag on the 4th of July with a hot dog and apple pie. It shatters that. And they don't want to pick up the pieces and reformulate like we've done. But, you know, it's like a Herximer. You got to get worse before you get better. You got to go through the healing crisis to get better. And people don't want to suffer a minute to get to a higher state of being. It's evolve or die.
Mm. I had a conversation about parenting with a guest the other day about this. And you need to let your children hurt themselves and learn and feel pain. And he said something very interesting to me. He says, "What was it? You know how they have in New Zealand, we call them plunket nurses. You register your child, and then they come around to your house and try and push vaccines on you and make sure your child's okay. And if they determine via their government mandate that you're not raising your child well enough, they kidnap them. Basically,
you're right. Yeah.
Exactly. He had one of these people come into his house, and the child, 2 years old, opens the door and says, "Oh, hi. How are you doing? Come on in. Have a cup of tea." And they were like, whoa. And this worker was blown away. And after doing their checks and asking their questions and ticking all their little boxes and what have you, she said, "You know, I could actually get fired for saying this, but what you people are doing is the future of parenting." Now, he never taught his child how to stand up to bullies or anything like that, like he does. It was just kind of like by osmosis. They were around at a friend's place in a bouncy castle, and there was one boy who was jumping on the other kids with his knees on their chest and making the other kids cry. And his daughter said, "Oi, stop doing that!" And the boy comes at him, and then she just pushes him down and kicks him off the castle. And he was so intensely proud at that moment that he recognized, and this was something Mark Passio talks about, is that children recognize natural law from birth. They recognize right from wrong without even being told what it is.
That's in the junk DNA, 97%. It's inherent. We already know. We're born. We just remember when we came to the birth canal, we already knew it before. Now it's like a blank slate. We got to relearn. and remember what we knew from the infinite one source that we came, divine spark out of, you know, the canal. So we have to let that be, and you got to fall on your face to get back up and walk. And you can't always have it sugarcoated. And everyone likes to sugarcoat today, and then you're right. The truth is harsh.
Yeah. Well, I think suffering is necessary for growth. I'm 6'4". You're 6'4" as well, Thunder. Do you remember when you were a teenager, when you got these intense pains in your legs and everything like that, those really painful growing pains?
I already knew what you were going to say. Yeah, they hurt. My daughter's going through it now. I those were the worst.
Yeah, it's extremely painful. And then, after a while, it starts to go away and you realize, I'm actually really tall and powerful now that I went through that.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what we got to do as a country. There's a lot of suffering going on. There's a lot of fat, broke, sick people out here that are misinformed and disinformed on purpose. And they're at a crossroads. Do, you know, listen to my doctor or listen to my coach, you know, or listen to my, you know, they're confused. And they're going through this suffering and this learning curve. It's all about the learning curve. We're trying to help you get through the learning curve. It's not such a steep thing. We're trying to apex the corner, if you will. You know, so you come out on the straightaway with top speed, if you will.
Well, you're throwing people a learning curveball.
Yeah.
Screwball.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And we're going for the complete game here. We've got the tricks up our sleeve to say, and the arm ain't getting tired, you know. Still bringing the heat.
Yeah. And that's another thing. The more pain you go through, you realize the more of it you can endure. What was his name? Paul Carruthers. He's an activist here in New Zealand. There was this dude called Alan Hubbard. He's kind of like the Bernie Madoff. Not Bernie Madoff. There's some really rich as frack guy in America who lives really frugally, drives a really old car that he bought ages ago or something like that. I forget his name.
But, Sam Walton?
Pardon?
Sam Walton?
Maybe. But anyway, we have a New Zealand equivalent called Alan Hubbard. You know, he's 75 years old, 80, you know, and drives a very small, modest car, lives in the same house that he bought in the 70s, no modern furniture. The only modern thing in his house was his kidney dialysis machine. He had his massive finance company stolen by the government, and the Prime Minister was involved, Mr. John Key, who used to work, incidentally, for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. And Paul became sort of his advocate, and he suffered really massively during that period when he was trying to stick up for Alan Hubbard, because the media campaign was like, oh, this old Mr. Magoo character, he's so evil, he embezzled all this money. No, he didn't, man. He just had it all stolen off him by the government, who wanted it because he was the one honorable billionaire left in the freaking country. That's why they did it to him. And Paul said something to me, I'll never forget what he said. You don't know what courage you possess before it is tested. Only afterwards do you realize how courageous you had to be.
That's right. Face the music. I like to tell people that I am not out making millionaires or building billionaires. I'm simply training trillionaires and giving the world abundance. Mm. Why take? It's so much more fun to give.
Mm. I think giving is about sharing, and we're only temporary, and it's like in that movie Avatar. He says, all energy is borrowed, and eventually, one day, you have to give it back.
Yeah. Got to. She come, she go. Mm.
Not unlike a brothel.
But no.
Anyway,
I'm a good guy. I never got to do all the fun things out there. I didn't get to go to all the bars, and I didn't go hang out with all my friends, do all the what they call sin things. No, I lived in a vacuum and
lab. He's a lab rat.
I'm a nerd.
I don't know. What is the definition of a nerd to your mind, Thunder?
most of my colleagues.
That's a bash.
So, stand up out of the wheelchair, will you?
Yeah. So Hawking, that's
all I'm asking, bro.
It's the epitome, you know.
Wheelchair. I mean, smartest guy in the world. I'd get out of the wheelchair. I know how, but apparently you don't. So go back to teaching. That's what you do best.
Yeah.
Chaos theory, garbage.
Yeah. No, I respect great minds. I mean, of course, you know, but you got to go out and do something with them. I don't respect the mind that created the atomic bomb.
Mm.
I mean, Einstein, what a great waste of a good brain. Let's create a nuclear weapon. I look at, you know, I look at brilliant people from a different point of view.
Mm.
If you're brilliant, how are you using your brilliancy? Are you using your brilliancy for your own selfish, or were you given and gifted something that needs to be shared and taught with the rest of the world?
That's it.
And that's where I pride myself in the respect. When I look into the mirror every day, I love me. I'm not narcissist. I love what I'm doing in my life. I love what I'm doing for the planet. And the fuel that gets me there is the knowledge that I receive from above by being a servant of humanity and God.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that interferes with my thought patterns. People can sit there and go, well, Thunder, you know, there's no possible way you can do all this. Mm-hmm. You can't possibly know this stuff. Where do you come from? What difference does it make? It's where I'm going. I'm going up. I'm getting higher. I'm not getting higher. So it's a look of how the world perceives what others are doing. If someone thinks I'm doing something taboo, tell me. If I'm not, thank me. That's all we do. It's either the lights on or the lights off.
There's no gray.
There's no gray in my world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have gratitude. And I remember I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, Thunder, and you just reminded me of it. I've been doing this for 5 years, give or take, doing the radio and the full-on activism, 7 if you want to get technical about it. Mm-hmm. And all the time, every day, there are donations that come into my account, and it occurred to me, if that was debt rather than a gift, I would never, in 100 years, be able to pay it back. And I'm intensely grateful for people's generosity, and I can not pay it back, but I can pay it forward.
Forward.
Yes, exactly.
If people enjoyed this show today, I hope they donate handsomely to you, dude. You deserve it.
Yeah, you do. And it's your gratitude that actually generates that, because you're coming from the heart. You're coming from a love frequency, not from a one-up or anything like that. You're trying to rally. You're trying to unite. You're trying to make people aware and awaken them just through information and communication. We went from the information age. We're now in the wisdom age. What are you going to do with all the info? You going to sit up? Potsy, or are you gonna activate it?
That's exactly what happened to me. You know, I was like, I was watching Alex Jones and YouTube videos and documentaries and all of that kind of stuff, and then I tried to find a New Zealand version of Alex Jones, somebody else who's interviewing all of these great guests and getting their messages out and helping the truth movement and waking people up, blah 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 blah, all of those things that I thought that Alex was doing, and there was nothing. And it occurred to me that it is an onus, it is a moral obligation upon the person who has the realization to fulfill it, to apply that knowledge. I got sick of absorbing knowledge.
Right.
And I wanted to cure that illness by imparting it to others.
Amen, dude. Well said. You got the info, now what are you going to do with it? He's got the info, I've got the info. We're getting it out there. We're sharing through things like this, and that's the payday. It's no good unless you share it.
You can die with all the information in your brain, and if it doesn't get out there, it's going to burn your ass up. I guarantee it. Until you get it out there, that's the kickback.
Not unlike a joint.
Like a joint.
It's not good unless you share it, and if you're not paying attention, you'll burn yourself.
Pay it forward. Fire in the hole.
Yeah.
We saw here last week, state of Colorado did $500 million its first day of legalizing marijuana for the state. You know, they taxed it, which was
25%.
Yeah, very good. That's, what, $125 million, $130 million?
What does that go to? The DEA? So that they can bust more innocent people?
This is one day. What a change in a pendulum versus putting these people away behind bars where they go to prison and smoke pot. So
it made them half a billion instead of costing them half a billion.
Right. A double win. You know, win-win. That's a politician. With that's a win-win solution. You know, back at you.
Mm.
You know, I took about five pounds of Arizona weed, and I ran it through a cold extraction with an argon. I hit it with an argon generator, and I extracted 6 milliliters of pure THC oil. I took that THC oil and placed it on skin about as much as a rice grain amount. And every person that had skin cancer, within 24 hours, the toxin was absorbed away using the oil.
Yes.
Cannabinoids.
Yeah, the Rick Simpson method, yeah.
So, I mean, I was told in the second grade that if you smoke pot, spiders come running out of the walls and you have scary nightmares everywhere. Well, when the first day I got to college and someone handed me a joint...
Of course
was like,
it was the first day you went to college.
Not really. I didn't smoke pot until my very first day of college. My high school, you know, cigarettes, I wouldn't have made the basketball team. Loser. That's what you would have been considered. When I was 500 miles away from home and, you know, no one knew who I was, I found a big surprise. There were no spiders that came running out of the corners.
A little enlightenment.
Wow, I actually started paying attention better in school. We look at some of the guys like Kersey. Who's the ayahuasca guy over there in England?
David Icke? No?
No.
Ayahuasca is about a 500 on the consciousness.
No, he's a wonderful speaker. Guy, his name skips my bell. I'm sorry. He did a lot of research in ayahuasca and mushrooms and such. Terrence McKenna, that's his name. You know, these gurus did. I've done research in marijuana, and you know what? I conclude that my brain was actually enhanced because. So, am I a bad guy walking around? No, I'm not harming anybody out there. Mm. I'm a very healthy person. And I make wonderful decisions based on not being an idiot.
Yeah.
So
that's why it's illegal, because they want to keep you dumb with alcohol.
Yeah, when I was
in the day and knock you down with booze at night.
Yeah. I think when I was 15, I won the senior speech competition at Waiheke Island High School, right? And I found one of my old diaries from that year, and I used to be a really deep thinking little kid, and I came across one of my passages where it said, "Why are people smoking drugs all the time and drinking? They're just a bunch of idiots." And that perspective hasn't changed. I just drink and smoke a lot more.
There's a place, we're responsible adults. I'm 44 years old. If I want to, fire up a plant that I grew in my backyard in my privacy of my living room, I assume that's why my ancestors went to war.
It's less likely to kill you than basil.
Certainly safer. You know, if Tommy Chong ran for governor of the state of Colorado today, I'm pretty sure he might be elected. He might do such a great job that the rest of the country would consider Tommy Chong for president. I know that's a crazy thing to say. He because we watched his movies in the 70s. But now time has went by. Imagine that. The hippies were right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that is a good place to wrap it up, gentlemen. This has been a great third hour, the first third hour in Vinnie Eastwood's show history. And I want to thank you profusely. Like, you know, how many languages can you say thank you in? It's like Dankeschön in German, and I think that's about it. And but yeah, it's been great. It's been intense. It's been enlightening. It's I really want some of your shit. Basically, it'd be really awesome to have some of that stuff.
It's got a nice pack, bro.
Yeah,
sure. Again, all listeners, email Brad.
Yeah, b-rad@modernhealthcoach.com. That's b-rad@modernhealthcoach.com. Send an email to that address saying
cell number.
Oh, send your cell number so we can send you a text.
Yeah. And in the subject matter, write, "I love Vincent Eastwood." And I love Vinny Eastwood.
And it's Vinny with a Y or something. Yeah.
It helps us, you know, we know where the leads originate from, and we will handsomely send them a free text message anywhere in the world that is a chemtrail buster. Put this on your phone, and, you know, the stuff that falls from the sky will be inert. If you don't believe in that stuff, please don't accept our free offer. We're not going to worry about you in a couple of years anyways, because the chemtrail got you. We're practically real.
Yeah. Okay.
Practical and real.
And what are your websites one more time for the listeners?
Modernhealthcoach.com, www.modernhealthcoach.com. And you'll find 26 shopping categories that are outrageous. I've done the best of the best. There's a lot on there that you need to self-empower yourself to get over the hump. Check that out. I put a lot into it, and there's a lot of information on there that is free, and there's a lot of products and services that you won't find all in one place. And
some great videos are on there me and Brad have done some videos to go over and explain the products. Any questions, we're happy to always 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, answer them.
Mm-hmm. We're here for you to get us through this pivotal bottleneck that we're in this world. So let's rally with a little consciousness and enlightenment here. Leave it at that for now.
We love you and thank you.
All right. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to reiterate, as I have the last couple of shows, that I am moving to a new studio that has a spare bedroom. So when activists come to New Zealand from overseas, I will give them bed and board for free, as well as give them studio interviews and what have you. And if they want to learn how to make videos and make radio shows, the Eastwood method, I will teach them that for free as well, so that they will not need me anymore to do it for them. When you are employed, it is a dependent relationship. You have to ask other people for what you do. I am not employed. I have been self-employed for a number of years. However, I understand the important relationship that I have with my listeners. I'm very grateful for your donations, and we need about 2,150 New Zealand dollars in order to put up the costs to move into this new studio, and we will be expanding the show, making more happen in many, many ways, and we cannot do that without your help. All of your help so far is much appreciated, and yet more is needed, and it always will be. Thank you very much for listening. God bless. You are the only exception. You are